Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah!
It's the 3rd of July.
It's the 3rd of July, so wake up, wake up.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
You have to wake up. We were here all night. You can be awake.
Wake up, gangsters.
Sup, dog? How
wake
you feeling?
Up. Wake
it's
up, players.
Dream, yo.
Wake up.
Tomorrow we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yep. You better believe we're going to air that speech from Independence Day. Doug's going to pull it up.
Oh, so good. So good, you guys.
So good.
Happy Thursday. Happy Friday for us. Tomorrow is a day off.
Tomorrow's a day off, and we're taking it.
Yeah.
Taking
hopefully
it for all
you get
it's
a day
worth.
Off as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully you work somewhere patriotic who cares about this great nation and said,
amen.
Hey, bruh, you get a day off tomorrow. Unless, of course, you're listening, you know, overseas, in which case, man, that's cool.
What are you doing?
Your country's probably cool, too.
I put up an American post on Facebook.
Yeah, America.
It's super, super patriotic.
Yeah?
Yep.
I like it.
It's a very smart eagle. He's wonderful.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there. Dude, our app is updated.
Yeah, we have people reacting to the app.
It's pretty great.
And they're stoked.
We have a brand new update to our app. You can get to the iTunes store. You can get to the Android market. It is absolutely free. But maybe you're getting ready to travel away from the Albuquerque area or New Mexico altogether. And you want to rock Static Radio? Free app.
Do it.
And it's incredible. We got a new encoder that's rocking CD quality, so...
It sounds way better.
It does.
Sounds way better.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. You got to listen to it. Check it out. Free app, Static Radio. In fact, Team Awesome Morning Party wanting to take a road trip in August.
Yeah, and we need some help.
We do need some help. We're trying to get out. Teaming up with this band you may have heard of. They're called House of Heroes. They have a tour coming up in August for a couple weeks.
Yep.
To premiere their brand new EP. You know this band.
I do. And we thought we had it all arranged, but now we need your help.
Absolutely. So what we're trying to do is get Static Radio out on this tour and get to all the major cities and have a moment at the show to talk about Static Radio, to plug the app. And let's be honest. Remember the first time you heard Static Radio and you're like, dude!
Yeah.
This is my jam!
I remember that.
Love this place!
Yeah!
We're hoping that the nation will do that as well. So we want to get out to all the cities. We will be doing the morning show live from all of the cities.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, we need a sponsor. So we need your help. If that sounds like something awesome that you would like to do, maybe you're a local business and you're like, dude, I loved it to be, hey, it's a Team Awesome Morning Party road trip. Brought to you by Boop, whoever you are. And so we will make sure to thank you tremendously many, many times.
Your name will be going all across this country.
Absolutely. So we're talking to you, Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart.
You got money, right? Right?
They got something.
Just need a couple grand.
They got something.
Studio@mystaticradio.com. That is our email address. That is how you get in contact with us and say, bruh. I'd love to sponsor the Team Awesome Morning Party road trip. Coming up, breaking news, birthdays, more of us.
Yeah.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo.
Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
It is time.
Yeah.
For breaking news. July 3rd, 2014, the day before Independence Day. I think at this point in the movie, everything was blown up.
Yeah.
Everybody's scrambling. Yeah. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
I don't know.
But early on July 4th, that president guy gives that speech.
Bill Pullman.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And they may take our lives.
No, that's the wrong speech.
But they'll...
Oh. It's like, mankind. That word should have new meaning for us all today. And he goes into it. We will not go blah, blah, blah. We should play... At some point today, we should play...
Gladiator speech?
Independence Day for a petty thief.
freedom breakers.
From House of Heroes. We'll play.
Okay.
We'll play.
Okay.
A new poll finds that residents of 35 countries feel that they have more personal freedom than Americans enjoy.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
To that I say, yeah, right. A Texas Tech cheerleader is being blasted on the internet for posing with all the animals she's killed as a big game hunter. You seen this?
No!
She's 19 years old. She's posing with, like, dead lions.
And Red Raiders!
Yeah. She's getting some heat from the animal people.
That's where I was born, y'all.
Yeah,
that's
it was.
My home country right there.
He is also one of those big game hunters, so if you guys want to get after Steve-O.
Yes.
He goes out there and he's like, what's that? Oh, peacock.
My original name was Stephen the Hunter.
Whoa, Craven. Mm-hmm. Calm down.
Yes.
IBM supercomputer Watson has created its own recipe for barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Showing me that computers are just as stupid as people.
Hey, if we mix ketchup with that sugar over there, I bet you it'd be sweeter, y'all.
Look, Watson. Watson's about to produce the cure for cancer.
Bing!
This is a recipe for barbecue sauce. Wait, he's printing something out. It says, ha, 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 got you guys. I'm never telling you the cure, but I do know it. What a jerk computer.
Watson, you're a jerk. Barbecue sauce.
The House of Representatives quietly changed its rules so it no longer has to make public to the American people any free trips it takes that are paid for by special interest groups. Thanks, House of Reps, you jerks.
Coming up next week, I'm excited. We're talking with Fred Thompson, actor.
But he's a senator.
Former senator.
Yeah, he was a former senator. He'll probably have a lot to say.
He will.
He'll be like, oh, okay. Okay.
I can't wait to talk to him.
The FTC is filing suit against T-Mobile for sticking customers with millions of dollars of bogus charges.
Whoa.
Thanks, T-Mobile. All that music might be free, but everything else is super expensive.
Dang.
That's why the music can be free.
Yeah.
Did we get on that thing?
Nah, I don't know.
Keep voting.
I've been waiting. T-Mobile people, I've been waiting.
A group of scientists who analyzed available DNA samples have reached a conclusion that so far no one has found credible proof that Bigfoot lives.
Hey, imagine that.
Liar.
Obviously, they haven't seen the very real documentary, Harry and the Hendersons.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah. That makes me sad.
Yeah, it makes me sad too, especially the end when they have to put him back in the forest.
No.
Oh.
New York authorities are cracking down on acrobats that perform on the subway. Jerk acrobats.
Mm.
They're in league with Watson the Computer and the House of Representatives.
There you go.
Just doing crimes.
And what?
Speaking of doing crimes, I'm not going to see that stupid Purge movie.
Purge?
Yeah, that Purge America. Doug, you know what I'm talking about. The Purge is a movie. The premise is for 24 hours, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, man, that looks crazy.
It looks
crazy.
Scary. I'm not watching that.
Yeah, no, that looks crazy.
United We Purge? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, not me. No. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to Australia.
We met an Australian
yesterday. We met one of the best looking dudes I have ever seen in my life. I'm going to straight up be honest. He looked like Thor, which is funny because that's where Chris Hemsworth is from.
Yeah.
He's in our buddy Cody's wedding.
Yeah, he's his cousin.
So all you ladies out there,
Jacob,
this dude is Thor.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's ridiculous. Yeah, I keep forgetting that Cody is from Australia because his accent's completely gone. Because
his accent's like this.
He's like, hey, bro, I'm from California.
Bro.
Australia! A Qantas Airlines flight was forced to return to Los Angeles International Airport due to a water leak. Neato.
Yeah.
The Tour de France starts Saturday. Meanwhile, the World Cup is still going on, and so is Wimbledon. I think they're throwing that out there because it's like, no, guys, soccer isn't over. Oh, they don't care anymore.
Dude, they should care because there's some good games going on today.
Yep. Tell us about them, Steve-O.
Well, sir, they start early, though. This is one thing that I think makes it difficult because there's a couple games today. In fact, the first one starts, I believe, at like 11 a.m., which made me very sad because that meant you guys are going to be alone here because I'm going to be at home. But, you know. So, gosh, why can't I get here, you? How can I get here, you?
I don't have answers.
Sorry.
I don't.
Here's the best part. Because the SportsCenter app, I have the U.S. as one of my, you know, teams to follow.
Yeah.
But they're like, U.S. is out. And we're not going to show you any more World Cup updates. The SportsCenter app! I had to dig and find it!
That's crazy.
So, and I'm a liar, so it's tomorrow. I don't know why I thought it was today. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., which is perfect because we're all going to be off, so you can watch one of the... Dude, France-Germany tomorrow, okay?
It's going to be a big one.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Guys.
And if World War II is any indication...
What?
Nope.
Germany's going to manhandle France. Is that what you were saying?
Nope. I actually do have...
Oh, man.
Forgive me, everyone. Forgive me. I actually do have an 0-2 Belgium... I mean, not Belgium. Berlin, Germany. It's got a soccer ball, and it's for the German team.
Mm-hmm.
My mom lived there. She lived in Berlin.
Yeah.
So, during the Cup. So, I will be rooting for Germany from here on out. Only because they were in our grouping.
That's okay.
My mom lived there for years.
And Kevin Banks is from there.
And he's a great dude. I mean, we all love him, right? He does things for children.
I do.
And I believe the children are our future, so...
Fabian Cousteau surfaces, that's right. The grandson of Jacques Cousteau.
Ooh, yes, Fabian Cousteau!
Maybe it's Fabian. 31 days after his initial descent and 50 years after his famed grandfather's original deep-sea mission, Fabian Cousteau is back on dry land.
Yeah, he is.
46-year-old ocean explorer and documentary filmmaker finished his stint in an underwater lab 63 feet deep off the coast of Key Largo, Florida on Wednesday, rising to the surface after a brief layover in a decompression unit. The mission called Mission 31. Provided a platform to study oceanic pollution and climate change and their impact on wildlife as well as to conduct scientific experiments on coral reef. That is awesome. I remember watching Jacques Cousteau's crap when I was a kid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. In other unrelated news, a guy named Justin Myers has given himself a birthday shout out on
Facebook.
Birthday shout out to myself. And he tagged himself.
Yes, I love it. It's the only way to go, man.
That's terrible.
If I had a Facebook page, I would do the exact same thing. Because my birthday is July 16th. Did I mention that?
Wait, you don't have a Facebook page?
I don't have a Facebook
page. I don't think I've ever heard you say that. That's weird. Attention, unmarried and maybe procrastinating parents of the world. Conventional wisdom has long held that you have a magic moment or a window after the birth of your child in which it's most likely you'll put a ring on things.
Yeah, dude.
But new research from Duke University shows that the magic lasts a little longer than previously thought. Rather than being limited to the period right after birth, the window lasts all the way up to junior turning 3.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I had some friends who, yeah. Now I'm not saying, you know. No, hey, no judgment zone, okay?
You're not condoning.
Not condoning, but not judging. Okay. I had some friends who their son was the ring bearer for their wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it didn't work out.
Didn't work out? You think it was the kid's fault?
Yeah, it was totally.
Probably his fault.
Probably. You know, when you're getting married for reasons
how
other
could
than
he
love
do that?
Because, you know.
Right. Just, you know, maybe just because you had a kid. Oh, poor posture.
I'm getting a lot of trouble.
Guys, poor posture isn't just bad for your back. This is important because I have poor posture. New research reveals that slouching can make you sad and may even dumb you down.
Oh.
One 2012 study found that poor posture can negatively affect our energy levels. Off the back of this, new research has explored the effect of posture on our emotions.
Huh.
Steve-O, you look like you're very smart right now. In the small-scale study, German psychologists took 30 clinically depressed patients and asked them to sit slumped or in an upright position. While seated, they were asked to imagine themselves in a scene related to positive words such as beauty and enjoyable, or negative words including exhaustion and dejected. And those words flashed on a screen in front of them. The patients were then asked to recall the words. Those who sat upright had a balanced recall of positive and negative words, but slumped patients showed recall based bias towards the more negative words. Interesting.
Or it's because they took people that were clinically depressed.
Yeah. Well, it said that they had, like, they could remember the positive ones, too.
I know.
They were unbiased.
No.
Oh, man. At the Vault Coffee Shop in North Dakota, you can get a cup of joe, a cup of tea, or a pastry. But you get it yourself and you ring yourself up.
No way.
And when you do, you're on your honor at what the Vault's owner thinks is the only unstaffed, self-serve cafe out there. Owner David Breck says, "The thing that's amazing is that people have been extremely honest. When I add up how much has been taken and how much is in the till at the end of the day, people are 15% more generous than thieving. The Vault has a credit card reader and a slot for your dollar bills and your checks. And these are the instructions. Exact change is not necessary. Round down and give yourself a break or round up and help us stay in business. There are cameras on the premises, but Breck says that's more for security than to encourage you to round up." Interesting commentary.
That's awesome!
That is awesome.
Gosh.
I think, yeah, usually when you give people a chance, they'll step up.
I'm a fan of honor.
Of course, this is North Dakota. There are exactly 15 customers of the Vault, and they come from all over the state. Because that's the only coffee shop in North Dakota.
Oh, man.
They don't have any other options.
That's why they couldn't hire any employees.
Right.
He's like, innovative, shoot, man, I just couldn't get anybody to work here.
That's half our clientele. Why would I hire them? I don't want to pay them. I want their money.
Oh, man.
The one-word expression that has come to partially define a Canadian is dying. That's right. Well, instead, right has moved in, elbowing
eh?
Out of the way among young urban speakers of Canadian English. The expression is still common in rural Canada, but kids and young adults in cities are using right. Research also points to the popularity of and stuff and everything and you know to end a sentence.
I like it.
You know?
You know?
Pretty.
We're talking about our buddy Cody. He's Cody. Getting married tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He talks like this.
He talks like
his
this.
His go-to phrase is, oh, next time.
Oh, next time.
And so he's like, bro, are you going to be at my wedding on Friday?
Mm-mm.
And I said, oh, man, I don't think I can make it. And he goes, oh, next time. And I said, Cody, if there's a next time, I'm going to murder you. And he just started laughing. Oh, bro, no. I meant, and before he could say anything, his buddy that we met last night that was with him was like, it's okay, man. I recently got baptized and he couldn't be there. And he said, oh, next time. And I said, nope.
Cody, get a new catchphrase.
We got to get Cody a new catchphrase, our buddy Cody.
He sounds like Max.
He needs it. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, it's Thursday. He'll be joining Celeste on...
I mean, not Cody, Max.
Our bro, Max, he's on with Celeste.
Yes, he is.
If you haven't heard that, 5:30 on Thursdays, it's poetry. If you love poetry.
You love poetry, and if you love dumb stuff. it's a pretty funny segment. Okay, update. Liquor license okayed for the shooting range in Omaha.
Okay.
An Omaha shooting range is on its way to secure a liquor license. The Omaha City Council voted 7-0 Tuesday to approve the license for the Harry A. Koch Trap and Skeet Range.
Mm-hmm.
Officials said the facility plans to serve only beer and only in designated clubhouse and patio areas. Alcohol would be available only to people who were not shooting or had finished shooting and would not be served during youth competitions. If the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission signs off on the license, the range would be one of a handful of shooting ranges in the state that can serve alcohol. Does not sound like a good plan to me.
Little does the state of Omaha realize that's why the state was named. Mm. Future people knew. Aliens came down and they started naming things like ironically. So
yes.
That because that's probably what's going to be shouted out mostly with drunk people in the shooting range. Omaha! Dead.
Omaha?
Yeah, he was going to say hand.
What's
but then
their
he bled
ha?
Out and died.
Oh.
It's real tragic.
Oh, this is interesting. The United States Patent and Trademark Office has declared Tyler Perry to be the winner in a battle over what would Jesus do.
Okay.
The other person in the fight was Kimberly Kearney. In May 2008, Tyler Perry registered the What Would Jesus Do mark in the category of entertainment services, mentioning in his filing live concerts, a TV program, and motion pictures. He included a disclaimer that he wasn't attempting ownership on the exclusive rights to use Jesus apart from What Would Jesus Do, but months earlier, Kearney had already filed for that same mark for a reality-based television program that never materialized.
Hmm.
Tyler Perry Studios said that she wasn't really using the mark. Perry demanded that the trademark office declare her registration abandoned, as it was blocking his own attempts to use What Would Jesus Do. In the end, TP has won out and gets Jesus. He's trademarked Jesus. How could you do this? How could you trademark Jesus? How could you do this?
Is it ironic that that was all based on what would Jesus do?
I don't know if Jesus would apply for a patent or a trademark. I think he would be like, no, this is going to take too long, man. And I have better things to do. I don't know about that. The debut of Better Call Saul, the Breaking Bad spinoff show starring Bob Odenkirk, has been delayed until early 2015. The new series will span time before, during, and after the events depicted in Breaking Bad. To get fans psyched for the new series, AMC has announced the Breaking Bad Marathon that begins August 10th and runs until October 5th. Episodes will air each Sunday night from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time.
Dang.
Check this out. The rerun schedule will offer previously unseen crew and cast interviews and new behind-the-scenes commentary and footage. So for you Breaking Bad fanatics out there, that might be something you're into.
I was actually talking to somebody yesterday at the Freedom Celebration here at Calvary Albuquerque, and they were a couple like crazy fans.
Yeah.
Who are currently trying to get a Breaking Bad con here.
Oh my gosh.
Like it'd be a Comic-Con type
thing. A
whole
convention?
Just for Breaking Bad.
Do they let other meth dealers come in and set up a, like, is that part of it? Do druggies get to come in?
Yeah, I don't
do
know.
Is it for the druggies?
Yeah.
Hello, druggie.
I didn't ask. I'm sorry.
A man who's decided to take a nap in a Poland parking lot survived after a car reversed over his head. The man dozed off to sunbathe, but he soon woke up when a car accidentally reversed over his head and left him trapped underneath the car.
Oh my gosh.
The 25-year-old somehow avoided serious injury. And for our final story, freshly signed divorce papers, one night teak wood stand, and grandma's last Christmas tree. These are just some of the unique scented candles by the Flicking Candle Company. Made in the U.S., Flicking claims to be the only candle company in America brave enough to celebrate the fresh scent of failed marriages, ruined friendships, rejection, criminal activity, and unexpected weight gain. That one probably smells a lot like fast food places.
I was going to say Crisco.
Loaded with humor, the candles are designed for those going through a tough time.
That's amazing.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Oh,
let's take a look at traffic.
All right.
There is nothing going on
Yay!
Right now. There's construction at I-25 in Paseo, and we have a road closed down in the... Refresh. There's an accident reported. Lomas Boulevard East at San Mateo Boulevard. I repeat, an accident is reported, has been reported, occurred at 6:38 a.m., so that's not that long ago. Lomas Boulevard East and San Mateo Boulevard. If you are in a hurry, you might want to avoid that little place. We also have construction. A road's closed. 2nd Street North at Central Avenue. And again, there's an accident reported. Lomas Boulevard East at San Mateo Boulevard. That's your look at traffic, because now, ladies and gentlemen, it is July 3rd and it is time for birthdays with Doug.
Boom!
Doug. Good morning.
Dougie Fresh!
Hello.
Hey, bud.
Hey, hello. Doug.
Hey, guys.
How are you today?
I'm swell. How are you doing?
Are you sleepy?
No, I'm doing pretty good.
I'm sleepy.
Oh, I am, too.
Today is July 3rd, 2014, day 184. There are 181 days remaining
in the year.
No, there's not. No, there is.
No, there's not.
It's science.
Whatever.
Shout out to the guy whose birthday it is. I gave himself a birthday shout out.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you from yourself.
Yes. All right. First up this morning, he is from the sitcom Dharma and Greg. He played Greg.
Oh, I don't know this guy's name.
He was also in Chicago Hope. And he was on Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Mr.
He became, like, serious actor.
Thomas Gibson.
Thomas Gibson.
Thomas Gibson today is 49.
47.
He is 52 years old.
Oh, okay. This list is wrong, Doug.
Hey, I didn't put it out.
But you gave it to me.
I just report on it.
Is it really?
I've always heard shoot the messenger. Whenever somebody is something's wrong, they tell me, they're like, hey, just shoot the guy that gave it to you.
Yeah.
It solves all the issues.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to do.
And I will go out for my independence.
Oh, beautiful.
Dan Castellano.
No.
The Nancy lady Cartwright. That's the voice of... Yeah, Bart.
No.
Nancy Cartwright.
The voice of Lisa.
Oh, Yearly Smith.
Yes. Very good, Steven.
Hey. Somebody knows their Simpsons.
Somebody
trivia.
Does know their Simpsons. From when I was a kid, I've seen that show
knows.
In years.
Somebody knows.
Are they still doing that show?
Yes.
No,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's
I think
going.
I saw the first 20 seasons.
Whoa! Whoa!
That's it. We tapped out at 20. She is 45.
46.
She is 50 years old today.
Wow,
50.
Dude.
Yo, she 50.
Whoa.
From one Fox show to another.
America.
Oh, yeah! Topher Grace.
Mila Kunis.
No.
Ashton Kutcher.
Best known for playing Red Foreman.
Oh, the older
snap.
Guy.
He's yes. also in RoboCop.
Yep. Star Trek, The X-Files. Also in 24.
Yeah.
Kurtwood Smith.
Kurtwood Smith.
65.
We're all alright. We're all alright.
Would you say 65?
Yeah.
66.
He is 71 years old today.
71 is really, really, really old.
And the final birthday this morning.
Oh, snap. Is it Kenny Loggins' birthday?
No.
Tom Cruise.
Maverick. Tom Cruise.
It's Tom Cruise's birthday?
It is Tom Cruise's
That's
birthday.
Doug! It's a national holiday,
That
guys.
Is a national holiday. Jerry
national
Maguire.
National holiday. Jerry Maguire! Oh, man. You just won my heart, Doug. Because of all the movies you could have said, you said Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire and Top Gunner, two of my favorites.
I knew I loved you, Doug.
To the
Risky Business. He was in The Outsiders, Cocktail, Rain Man. Born on the 4th of July. He was born on the 3rd of July. Interview with the Vampire. Vanilla Sky. Minority Report. Collateral.
Keep going. Keep
War
going.
Of the Worlds.
Oh.
Valkyrie. Jack Reacher.
Never saw Jack Reacher.
Hey, I saw it. It's not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow.
Collateral.
I haven't either. Yeah, Collateral. Okay, never mind. I can't say it.
Did you say Minority Report?
Yes.
I loved Collateral. Hated the ending.
Yeah, Collateral. It was a lackluster.
The very ending. It was like, yeah. I think I saw really, bro? It. Really? I can't say it. Well, then I definitely can't say it.
You know what? You know what movie I hate that he's in? Vanilla Sky.
I like Vanilla Sky.
I hate
it was
that
weird.
Movie.
One of the first
Y'all can have
so
it.
Weird,
one of the first movies me and Chrissy saw
Take
together.
It. Take it and keep it. That's
so I
fine.
I don't know that we liked the movie. I think it was just that.
It was Tom Cruise.
That movie was so freaking confusing. And I remember watching it just going, what am I doing? Why am I watching this movie? Why am I not watching Days of Thunder right
okay.
now? Where's Cole Trickle?
Speaking of, Fred Thompson was in Days of Thunder.
I know.
We're going to talk to him about that. But. Did you ever see Night and Day? That
yes.
was the other Cameron
I enjoyed
Diaz,
that
Tom
one.
Cruise movie.
I enjoyed that
That movie
one.
Was awesome.
Yeah, that movie was great. Vanilla Sky, no.
Happy birthday, Tom Cruise. You are timeless.
Yes, you are, because you've paid enough to be timeless to your Scientology people. Tom Cruise will never die. But unlike me, he had to pay for it.
He has grossed over $300 million.
Bah!
Chump change.
Chump change for a dude that's never gonna die, am I right?
I spent that this morning on gems for Clash of Clans.
I spent that this morning on attention for myself.
Tom Cruise. How old is Tom Cruise?
53.
Gosh. Okay, wait. I'm gonna do some math.
Do it.
Did anybody say legend, by the way?
Oh, yeah, legend, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. So let's say that he was... I'm going to say 50, then.
He is today 52.
Doug. You and your trickery.
Yeah.
I got excited.
On two dates.
No.
I'm just saying, what year the first savings bank in the United States, the Bank of Savings in New York City, opened?
Ooh. I'll tell you what, it wasn't... Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, people probably already had that in there. And then when
yep.
everything crashed, they were like... Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 18...
69.
1804. 18... 19.
Ah... Mm.
On this day, what year Congress established the United States Second Mint in San Francisco, California?
1931.
1904.
1852.
Dang it.
Okay. On this day, what year Dow Jones published its first stock average?
Oh my gosh, who cares?
Stockbrokers.
Stockbrokers care.
There's a lot of money talk today. It's crazy. Money! Money, money, money. Who do you trust? Me? I'm giving away free money. And where is Batman?
He's at home watching his tights!
Yeah! Okay, gosh, what was the question?
Dow Jones published his first stock average on this day in what year?
1912.
1984.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
On this day in what year, Idaho is admitted as the 43rd U.S. state.
Lame. 43?
Boy, that's one we wish we could get back.
Am I right, Daniel?
Idaho is the state. Thank you, Doug.
You're welcome.
Is this Idaho's song?
I don't know, but it should be everyone's song.
It is. It's Idaho's song.
No way!
Yep.
Good job, Spotify.
America.
So this is the jam that Spotify recognizes?
Yeah, and there's a few more than you would expect.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Mississippi's is wrong.
Yeah, ours is pretty soft.
Really?
I'm not happy about it.
Okay.
And I'm proud to
We'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. Spotify released a list of the most patriotic jams.
That's right.
In each state.
I'll tell you what's not patriotic. The metric system.
However, metric is pretty patriotic.
Nah.
Yeah,
if it says metric, it can't be trusted.
Oh, Idaho, you 43rd state, you. Love when was New Mexico? 1912?
It was 1918, wasn't it?
1912. We celebrated our... Yeah. Yeah. So then... And we were the 40... What were we? 40... We were later than that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 1890.
Minnesota.
1888.
1890
is correct.
Yay!
Good call!
Idaho!
I'm winning right now.
We whited out Idaho on our map. Because it tried to white out us.
Oh.
On this day in what year, some 200,000 heard Jimi Hendrix play the Star Spangled Banner as the 3-day Atlanta Pop Festival opened in Byron, Georgia. 2 days later, Governor Lester Maddox said he would seek legislation to ban rock festivals in Georgia.
69.
Think so?
I don't remember.
71.
1970.
Dang it. I knew it was right there.
In this day in what year, U.S. President Ronald Reagan presided over the relighting of the renovated Statue of Liberty?
82.
78.
This happened in 1986.
Ah!
This day in what year? Seinfeld debuted for the first time on television.
Okay. I'm going to say 94.
95.
1989. Really?
Yep. 25 years old. Wow. On to number one songs.
Dang. That's crazy, dude.
89. 4 o'clock rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock rock. 9, 10, who's this, everybody? Rock, come on.
Happy
come
days.
On. Bill Haley in the comments. 1957.
1958. 1955.
Dang it! Yes!
Oh.
This is a jam. There's some jams today.
This and I'll Be Missing You were number one songs on the same day. Not in the same year, but...
Oh, that's crazy.
That is.
1984.
Oh, man, this is a jam. And it's a creepy song. It's like Crash by Dave Matthews Band. You're like, this is such a good song. What's it about?
Crash is sexual.
Crash is weird, man.
It is weird. This song is stalkery.
Yeah, so is Crash.
Hey, I'm going to be
opinion.
Watching y'all, okay?
You said 84?
I did.
86.
1983. And the last one.
I almost
one.
Said 83. When that kid sings this song in that movie, We're the Millers or whatever, it's really fun.
It's weird that TLC's become like a thing in comedy movies lately. The other guys,
yeah.
Michael Keaton keeps dropping their songs.
Yeah, that's true. It's because they're kind of passé.
So I don't want no scrubs.
I don't either. I don't. I don't want no scrubs. Okay, think about this, Mateo. Okay, I will.
Because I was going to say 91, but that was their first record, I believe.
It was a little later.
So it was later, because this
was I remember
cool,
seeing
right?
the video.
So Crazy Sexy Cool came later.
96.
I didn't own all their records.
96.
I'm going to say 95 then.
1995 is correct.
Yeah! Good job.
Today is International Plastic Bag Free Day. It's Stay Out of the Sun Day. Today begins the Roswell UFO Festival. It's Superman Day.
Whoa!
It's Compliment Your Mirror Day.
Yeah, it is.
And it's Chocolate Wafer Day.
Every day is Compliment Your Mirror Day.
We should
right?
call the office of the mayor and just say, hey, tell him we like his head or
yeah.
something like that.
Oh, compliment the mayor?
Mirror.
Yeah, mirror.
Oh, I thought it said mayor.
Mirror. That's
mirror.
Why I got excited, because I do that every day.
Okay. You should call the mirror and compliment it again.
Oh! Give me a soft, subtle
mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it.
Don't try to fix it.
I won't, Doug. I'm not a handyman.
It's Thursday, Friday.
Thursday, Friday.
We're so excited. 4th of July is tomorrow.
Woo!
Day off. Spotify has a list of every state's patriotic jam. What is New Mexico's? What is your state's?
We'll find out.
Yeah, we will. We're also going to be rocking some Theology Thursday.
Oh!
And just having some fun today, man.
That's right.
Steam Awesome Morning Party.
America. Heck yeah.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
I'm hungry.
I know, right?
I'm hungry.
I didn't get breakfast.
Guys, we have an accident to report. Lomas Boulevard East at San Mateo Boulevard. Also, what is this thing? Flooding. Ramac Road at Coors Boulevard. Ramac Road? Ramac. It's like southwestern side of town.
Nope.
Flooding. Also construction I-25 in Paseo, and we have a road closed due to construction. 2nd Street South Central Avenue. That's your look at traffic. That's it. What?
Traffic brought to you by Solomon Sports, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus.
What?
Phone number's 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Speaking of being hungry, I am. Look at you just grubbing away next to me.
Yep.
So rude.
Take it.
Come on.
Take it.
I'm hungry.
Take and eat.
Aww.
Okay, I will.
All right, I got a story for you. Speaking of food and hungry.
Hungry.
This is America.
So?
Tomorrow we're celebrating Independence Day, 4th of July. In fact, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about Spotify revealing each state's patriotic jam, at least according to how many spins
Spotify.
It gets per state in Spotify.
Yeah, how many American tunes were streamed last year's holiday within each state.
I'll tell you what, this should be the number one jam. Because it's all about America.
This is about everybody else coming to America.
Yeah.
Right now, that's not really happening.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to happen much. You know, we hear a lot of stories about how people are flooding to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because all that weed.
There's one restaurant in Rifle, Colorado that says, hey, man, y'all want to tout your freedom to smoke weed?
Yeah.
We're going to tout our freedom to bear arms.
Far.
Yeah.
We've been traveling far.
A new family restaurant in Rifle, Colorado, receiving national attention this week for its waitress's unique piece of flair.
She got a six shooter on her hip.
Loaded firearms.
Boom.
All servers at Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado carry guns at all times.
Loaded?
Loaded.
This is a bad idea.
As they perform the normal duties of a restaurant wait staff, in case it's not clear, there's a sign in front of the restaurant that reads, "Guns are welcome on these premises." Sign also says, "Keep all weapons holstered unless need arise. In such cases, judicious marksmanship is appreciated."
Wow.
Would you eat at this restaurant, man?
Yep. If I had a death wish.
I don't know how I feel about this. I get it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm not saying anything against, like, gun control. This isn't a gun control conversation in any way, shape, or form. I'm just wondering, like,
I can hear the conversation in the back.
Hey, did you guys meet Cindy?
Yeah.
She doesn't work here anymore.
Well, why not? She's brand new. She just started last week.
Yeah, she shot a family.
Oh.
She was cleaning their table and her gun went off because she forgot to put the safety on. Everybody died. It took them 4 days to clean up.
Stop.
She was a cute girl, too. I was going to ask her out. No, I can't. She's in jail. She's going to be in jail for like 6 to 10, maybe more.
Stop it. Oh, man. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
You know, guys, good morning. It's where I will. I love you guys.
Oh, Wooly!
I'm hashtag blessed now.
Wooly.
Oh, shoot. I got a quick one-liner for y'all.
Let
just got to drop it.
It.
All right. So at this restaurant, what happens when someone gets fired?
Yep.
That's a bad day right there.
That's a bad day. Yep.
All new meaning.
That's so awful, man. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
And we're from Texas, and we're like, no.
I know. Yeah, you know something's wrong when the kid from Texas is like, hey, man, I think we should think about this one a little more.
Wait.
I just think maybe we should think about this a little more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just had to throw that out there. Hey, y'all have a good day. I love you both.
I love you, Wooly. Thanks for the Twitter shout out. I love that guy. He gave me a Twitter shout-out this morning.
Seen that.
Duke City Magazine, y'all.
Duke City Magazine. You're
cover model.
Cover. Yeah, no. Who was that guy standing next to you? Now, that was the girl in the photo is Tony Gambino's wife.
Yeah, that's Kelly.
That's cool.
She's awesome.
What does she do?
She owns a spa.
Wow.
So it was like prominent business people in Albuquerque.
They called you prominent?
I'm so prominent, guys.
You
were like, such a businessman.
You realize we're on Static, right? Not the Edge.
Hey, man, come on.
No, I'm saying that's what you said to him. And
which is the best.
He said yes, and Static is better.
My favorite part is that there's actually a story in there about Power 106. And so it's right below me.
What is Power 106?
Is it like the hip-hop station?
Oh. Here,
which is hilarious.
Did it get taken over?
I don't know.
That's what it said, the Power 106 takeover.
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
I assume that some country station had moved
I don't
in.
Listen to hip-hop.
I do.
You know who does listen to hip-hop, though?
Doug.
Doug listens to hip-hop, yeah. I was actually... Oh, where is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was here.
What is?
I was going to say, you know who else listens to hip-hop? Katy Perry does.
Yes, she does.
Allegedly. Okay, I didn't realize I had this in the system.
But you do?
What's the song?
What's the other song? It's by Flame, actually.
It is by Flame?
It's Flame featuring Lecrae.
Okay. What's the name of the song?
Let me see.
We're going to find it. We're gonna put them up against each other.
Where did the... Joyful Noise.
Joyful Noise?
Yeah.
All right, so in the news right now, Katy Perry in some trouble. We say well. Okay, so that's... Here we go. Katy Perry, right?
Katy Perry.
Yeah.
This is Dark Horse by Katy Perry.
Yeah.
That's the track.
Her new single, right? Well, Christian artist, Flame.
Yes.
And Lecrae.
5 years ago, released this other song. I can kind of hear it.
You know what it is?
What? Oh, I thought he was talking to me.
So this is Flame featuring Lecrae. And
there have been way more similar songs that have gotten by. For instance,
Katy Perry's Roar and Sarah Bareilles' Brave.
Yeah.
Produced by the same guy. Essentially the same background track. I can hear the similarities in this
one. I can too.
But do I think they have a case?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so at all.
So Katy Perry currently being sued by Flame and Lecrae, which is a big deal. Making national headlines. They're like, hey, bro, what sucks is, you know, the first thing everybody says is, because it's the first thing everybody said in the article slash comments, oh, good, the Christian artists are suing Katy Perry.
Yeah. The line is, Katy Perry sued, you jacked our Christian song and made it blasphemous. Katy Perry blatantly stole a song from a Christian hip-hop singer and then tarnished it with witchcraft, paganism, and black magic. At least that's the claim in a new lawsuit, according to the suit obtained by very reputable news source TMZ. Perry's hit song Dark Horse is a ripoff of an award-winning Christian gospel song called Joyful Noise that was released 5 years before Perry's track. The suit was filed by an artist known as Flame, along with other singers, one being Lecrae. They say Perry not only hijacked their religious music, but also destroyed their reputation in the Christian music world, which directly applies to Lecrae, because nobody likes Lecrae anymore, right? Right?
What?
Exactly. And that's why, my friends, it's not always smart to just jump into a lawsuit when it comes to music. But whatever, it's their thing. I don't... Listening to them, I definitely hear the similarities, but the more and more I listen to it, I don't think they have a case at all.
Yeah, last night when I heard it for like 8 seconds, I was like, oh, snap. And thinking about it in real life, I don't know. I get it. I hear it.
Here's the thing, though. How is Flame, if he's a Christian rapper, and I know Lecrae makes bank, but I don't know about this other guy. But how's he even going to have the money to do...
To battle
I mean,
Katy
think
Perry.
About Katy Perry and her money and her lawyer team. She's one of the biggest artists on her label. You think the label's going to let this go?
Right.
Yeah, right. Good luck, dude.
Yeah.
Not to mention every headline says, Christian singer suing Katy Perry.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
About as awesome as servers at Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado carrying guns.
Bringing it back.
Am I right?
We got good decisions all around today.
Yeah, it's good.
They're on target.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, our friends from the Aspen Project, the Shroffs, going to be in studio, hanging out, talking about what they're doing in the community. I hear it. I hear what's going on. I got you. I got you. It's like the slowed down version. Whatever. We'll see how it works. Obviously, we'll be keeping tabs on what's going on because this is a national.
Yeah, this isn't.
National headline.
I know we said TMZ, but like honestly, this was all over everything yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. Flame and a few other Christian artists suing Katy Perry. We'll see what happens with that. Coming up, speaking of music, Spotify revealed each state's most patriotic jam. List on the way. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static.
My mama laid me on a blanket, wiped the dust right off my face. That's the nurse, is he gonna make it? I was cold and I...
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
There's a lot going on, so we need to talk about it.
People trying to get out of town for vacation.
I don't know what's going on.
In a hurry!
There's a stalled vehicle. The right lane is blocked. Paseo Del Norte at Jefferson. That's going to be a mess. Because it's already crazy because of the construction. So again, if you are... Woo! That is unhappy. If you are... going Paseo del Norte west at Jefferson, there is a stalled vehicle and the right lane is blocked. No fun. There's an accident reported Lomas Boulevard east at San Mateo Boulevard. There's an accident I-25 at Martin Luther King Jr. That's exit 224. Also, that's close to the construction at 2nd Street South and Central Avenue. That's closed due to construction. I don't know if it played a role. Also, there's flooding. Ramick Road at Coors Boulevard, southwestern side of town. There is flooding, so be careful. That's your look at traffic right now. Be careful out there, guys.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch.
Hey, hey.
4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669.
Solomon's Porch.
I'm excited, man.
Wait, I just came up with a jingle for Solomon's Porch.
Oh, good.
Solomon's Porch, if you're wise, that's where you'll get your coffee.
I like that.
Wisdom.
That's good. That's good. It is July 3rd. Tomorrow, we throw in a party. America, celebrating our independence.
Beep.
It's going to be a good day. Most people are off of work, us included. So it's going to be like a more music morning show.
More music morning show on 4th of July.
You can enjoy it, or you could just sleep in. Just what I'm hoping to do.
Me dos.
Yeah, not going to happen. I have children. But Spotify released a list of the most patriotic jams. These are the jams that you're going to be bumping tomorrow.
Yep.
And we found the state's top song. For every state, at least according to Spotify.
The most popular song is not this one.
But it's a good song.
Find the most popular
one. It's Neil Diamond. Okay.
You know what it is.
Next guess, and it'd be, let's see. My next guess has to go like this. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah! I'm okay with that.
In a match for the most listened to Star Spangled Song, Lee Greenwood wins with Flying Colors. Those colors being red, white, and blue. The colors that don't run.
That's right.
Doug, these colors don't run. You got it? Just my children. Unless it's the French flag. In which case, I believe their flag is red, white, and blue.
Well, they're going to be running a lot tomorrow because they're taking on Germany at 10 a.m.
That's fine.
That's going to be really good match.
Jesus bled red, white, and blue, and so do I.
Okay. All right.
His God Bless the USA, this is Lee Greenwood, was the most streamed patriotic song on Spotify in 21 states last 4th of July, with a particularly strong allegiance in the Midwest. Other All-American favorites include Miley Cyrus's Party in the U.S. and Day, which is what Doug wanted. He said he's moving to Maine, New Hampshire, or North Dakota.
What?
Which is where that song was the most popular.
No!
Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA.
Yeah!
In Connecticut, not New Jersey.
Really?
The Beach Boys' Surfing USA, which reigns supreme in...
Surfing. California.
Nope.
Florida.
Nope. Surfing USA. Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Sorry, I was thinking of the continental United States.
No,
okay?
The whole thing, bro.
Gosh!
Check it out. Speaking of not... continental, Alaska's is American by Macklemore. Alabama, God Bless USA. God Bless the USA. Arizona, Lee Greenwood. Arkansas, Lee Greenwood. California is the song from Team America.
Oh, okay.
America!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't even say it.
Colorado.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Colorado. That's also the song in Florida and New Jersey.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's quite the mix on here. Let's see. Where'd I go? Illinois, ROCK in the USA, which is, strangely to me, that's also Mississippi's. ROCK
really?
In the USA. I figured, I knew it was going to be God Bless the USA. But let's see. Iowa, Arlington by Trace Adkins. Maryland, Young Americans by David Bowie. I'm just going through and finding the random ones. New Mexico.
Not Lee Greenwood?
Nope.
What?
Guess which one.
The actual Greatest America song? It's not Neil Diamond?
This song is about immigration.
Okay, but it's got America in the title.
And I get it. This is New Mexico, but no.
USA. I can't think of American songs. I'm trying to think of what my pick would be for the best patriotic song, and I just keep going back to Neil Diamond or Lee Greenwood. Are there others?
I've never heard of this song.
Are you serious?
Never
for New Mexico?
Letters from Home by John Michael Montgomery.
What?
Yeah. Got a story about John Michael Montgomery. Now, he used to be a huge country star, right? My buddy, I think it was Nathan Walker, who sings for the Red Airplanes. He was hanging out in some restaurant bar in Nashville, just chilling, listening to the band play. Because in Nashville, every venue,
right,
every restaurant has a band playing constantly. And it's incredible. And they're incredible musicians, always, especially down there on the Strip.
Yeah.
Some of the best musicians in Nashville play in the bars every night, just making money.
Right.
So anyway, I believe it was Nathan. It could have been a different guy. Was sitting there just hanging out. It could have been AJ from House of Heroes. And this dude starts talking to him, like a bigger guy, kind of fat guy, just talking to him. It was John Michael Montgomery.
What?
John Michael Montgomery got in trouble with the law a few years ago for drugs or something and completely lost his career.
Oh my gosh!
Completely lost his career.
So his favorite is right here because that's what
happened
to
exactly his career. What happened to his career.
Okay.
Some other choices. New York, 4th of July from Asbury Park by Bruce Springsteen. North Carolina, America the Beautiful. Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert's version of that. Oregon, Everyday America by Sugarland. Pennsylvania, The Star-Spangled Banner, as performed by Whitney Houston.
There you go.
Rhode Island, It's America by Rodney Atkins. South Dakota, Rockin' in the Free World by Neil Young. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. Texas, 4th of July by Robert Earl Keane.
What?
Utah, Off We Go into the Wild Blue Yonder, the band of the U.S. Air Force Reserve. West Virginia, American Girl by Tom Petty. There was one more. Where did it go? Massachusetts, Back in the USA by Chuck Berry.
Okay.
And then that's pretty much it. Yeah, so Lee Greenwood swept it pretty hard.
I can't think of jams I want to listen to now.
Oh, Colorado is the Star-Spangled Banner by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, okay.
You'd think that would be Utah, but they're like, whatever, Air Force. This is Utah.
505-338-3700, the phone number to chime in. Static!
Danger Zone.
Yes.
What state are you from?
New Mexico.
Sorry, man, you gotta change your song. It's a little-known song, Letters from Home by John Michael Montgomery. Good luck.
Dude, Danger Zone is a good one, though.
I know.
How do we not have Kenny Loggins?
The most American song to me is Big Willie Style. The album. Yeah.
Oh, man. Now I'm going to have to come up with a rad America song because, man, God Bless America is good, but we need to update that. Update!
Dude.
Speaking of America, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, producer Doug had a brilliant idea and said, hey, man, tomorrow we celebrate our freedom, and I figured it'd be great for you guys to show how patriotic you are to this great nation. Mm-hmm. He found the test that people have to take to become U.S. citizens, and Matt and I are going to take it.
Yes, we are.
Oh, man, we're going to pass with flying colors, and those colors are red, white, and blue.
Amen. Amen.
We better pass this.
If we don't, we're going to deport ourselves.
Yep, pretty much, man. America.
To Fiji.
That's That's coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. Also be talking with the Shross from the Aspen Project.
I'm proud to be in America.
It's Team Awesome America Party.
No.
Static.
And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Good morning.
On Static Radio.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
Everybody's going nuts today. It's July 3rd. Everybody calm down.
All right.
We do have flooding at Ramac and Coors. Is it Ramac? How do you say that, Shara?
Got me. I've never heard that street before.
She doesn't know either.
No.
We do have construction, the roads closed, 2nd Street south at Central. The accident that was close to there is not here on the map anymore, so I'm guessing it got cleared. An accident was reported earlier this morning at Lomas Boulevard East in San Mateo. Still showing up, so I don't know what's up with that.
What's
also,
up with that?
Around the construction at Paseo and 25, we have a stalled vehicle where the right lane is blocked at Paseo del Norte West at Jefferson Street. So look out for that. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, coffee shop here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
505-338-3669. Welcoming into the show.
Hooray. Pertinent.
Michelle Schroff.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
I always forget that this is my song.
I mean, it's your jam.
Until I'm here, and then I just...
It's your jam, bro.
Just deal with it.
From the Aspen Project and Project Zoe and sup.
What's up?
Glad to have you in studio.
Thanks.
4th of July tomorrow. Big plans with your clan
None,
of 17?
Zero. Got a sick kid. Everything stops. The end.
Yeah,
that's your life.
Chrissy
too.
Last night stayed home with the boys because little bro's rocking fever. So yeah,
you know, and I'd appreciate it if, since people know that I have a sick kid, don't be posting firework pictures on Facebook. It's rude.
It's the Fourth of July. What do you want them to do?
Wait, not the line.
They have to. Come on,
that's rude. Serious. I was going through my feed on Instagram, and it was, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know with Instagram if you stay too long. So my family woke up to fireworks because it was like, dang it, I can't get the So, and every single picture, I was like, really, people? Come on.
See, the funny thing is, I'm going to be on Patriotic for about 8 seconds.
Ooh.
I'm not a fan of fireworks.
You're not?
I don't get it.
That's not unpatriotic. That's unhuman. How could you do this? What have you done? This goes beyond
America. He probably
hates
babies, too.
We were at Disneyland.
What else do you hate? Puppies, babies,
we were at Disneyland for 4th of July. And, you know, Disneyland goes big or goes home.
Yeah.
And so this giant spectacle is going
Fantasia
on in the sky.
Thing. Yeah.
Goo-goo, goo-goo. And I'm like, sweet man, no lines. Come on, come on, let's go, let's go. And my kids were the same way. I was like, Star Tours! We rode that thing like 7 times because everybody's staring up in the sky like, ooh, a blue one.
Yeah,
ooh,
I'm kind of like
red
that too.
One.
I'm like, and that I'm with like, the parades too.
Oh, this is, next one's going to be green. Oh, yellow. Dang.
It's all
so
about.
So good.
You're missing out on the experience of fireworks because you're trying to predict it. So you want to go ride? You want to go ride Star Tours and have your experience
for
there?
The
some
time.
People can just appreciate the experience of fireworks.
That's right.
They're surrounded by loved ones,
sorry,
and they're
guys.
Like, "Hey, this is a good moment.
This is a good moment." I'm sorry, y'all.
You'll get there.
He
one
just
day.
Can't live in the moment.
I'm unpatriotic, I guess.
It's
cool. I'll go. I'll hang. Last night was incredible.
Aren't fireworks actually from China?
Wait, what?
For real?
No, hey now.
According to Mulan, they are.
Why gotta be unpatriotic like that?
Serious.
I think
the Chinese invented them.
Hey,
they had them a long
fireworks
time.
And Jesus, American. Obviously.
That is
American
true.
Is French toast and
that's
apple
right.
pie.
That's right.
Hamburgers.
French what? Toast and French fries.
Pizza.
Totally. All American made things.
Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Keep going, man.
Ireland.
Yes. Orange chicken.
We created Australia. Water. Water is American.
Pretty much. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Everybody else is making oxygen. We flip that on its head. And say, we're going to make monoxide. This is our contribution.
It's pretty great. America, man. Now, really, tomorrow, 4th of July, hopefully everybody's home and off and getting to spend time with family. Now, the Schroff family, y'all go big or go home in all regards, so you've got 114 kids in your home.
Just 10.
Just 10.
Oh, only 10.
Oh, just 10.
Don't exaggerate.
So, sick kid, that
sick
puts
kid.
A kink in. Does everybody right. else step up and help out at home,
of
or is
course.
It usually like the, ugh, this one's sick, so let's make them feel worse.
No, it's our two-year-old, so everyone feels bad. If it was an older kid, they'd be like, dude,
suck
if you weren't sick,
up.
Well, they would probably not say they're sick because they wouldn't want to stay home.
Ah, gotcha.
So they'd lie.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's good. That's
little
good.
Liar.
My 16-year-old is in England right now sick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. First, they get stuck in Chicago for 28 hours. Then, so they're a day late getting to their destination.
Okay.
Then they lose her luggage. So three days later, she gets her luggage. Then she loses her voice. Kind of hard to evangelize with no voice.
Maybe the Lord just wants her to chill out.
Yeah, and shut up.
Yeah, her 8th grade mission trip, she was in a tornado. So,
Oh my gosh.
I told her, dude, they're not going to want you to go anymore.
Hey.
They're gonna be like, you stay home this year.
You maybe, tell her that Albuquerque can be a mission field. She doesn't need to go anywhere.
Maybe the Lord doesn't want her on mission trip. He's like, hey, you keep sending her out.
That's right.
You're not going to get her back.
Next up, whale. I'm just going to spit her right back out in Albuquerque. Which would be a feat.
She's going to be passing out tracks in heaven if she's not
that's
careful.
Right.
Hey, man. Too far.
Nah, that's
too
crazy.
Yeah, America! So, Michelle from Aspen Project and Project Zoe. Let's talk a little bit about Project Zoe.
Sure.
Anything coming up?
We just had a workshop.
Awesome.
Job interview skills workshop.
Okay.
The girls learned how to write resumes. We had about 10 girls there, which is our max because we like to.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then we did mock interviews at the end, which was a load of fun because we got to get to know the girls. Instead of it just being, you know, hey, this is what you do when you go in for a job interview. It was, what you know, what's your dream job?
So you should have let us interview. Be the bosses. I love mock interviews. Check it out. So what are your skills? Oh, those aren't skills.
Oh.
That's how those are mock interviews, right?
Weaknesses?
It's like where you're all of them cuz you're a girl.
Tell me all of your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Cuz you're a girl.
Those are called mock interviews. It's where you basically
just mock
the other person
while you're interviewing.
Steve-O, I think you had a weird time at your first job.
Yeah.
What was your first job?
Uh-oh.
Okay, well my actual first job or the one I claim?
Yes.
My actual first job was at a Mexican restaurant called Alejandro's.
Mm-hmm. The one you
It's no
taxes
longer
on?
Around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what's the one you claim?
Dion's.
Dion's.
Because I was at Alejandro's for like 72 hours.
So they hated you.
And it
you
was
there.
Like, oh, this is the worst.
They were mean to you.
And
you
I
bust?
Was just constantly in the back. Yeah, I was bussing tables. And then I was like, but mostly just in the back eating the chips and
well,
salsa.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, working in food sucks. I'm going to Dion's.
Yeah.
That was a
good call, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You preferred pizza.
I worked fast food one time.
And yeah.
We'll never do it.
Yeah,
me
too.
My shortest job was McDonald's.
What?
I worked at Mickey D's for 2 hours. So, the one up on Montgomery and Tramway, I did you do the whole, like, more than that, because you do the whole sit down and watch the videos the first time.
Yeah.
Not at the actual restaurant.
Yes.
So then my first day at the actual restaurant, I got there and it was like, this is gross.
Yeah.
Serious?
This is bad. And I wanted to love this place because I was in high school. So I'm supposed to love this place. This is the Golden Arches. And I'm seeing all the behind the scenes.
Yep.
And so I was like, all right, everybody, take a 15. You know, I'm like, I'm just going to go take
those
a 15
arches.
Real quick.
And you never came back?
No.
That's crazy. Those arches aren't golden on the inside.
Yeah.
They're greasy and disgusting.
But then I found my stride, my first, like, long time job, Winrock 6.
What?
No way, that's cool.
What? Shout out. So,
my first job was Chick-fil-A. I worked there for a year because I made a commitment.
From the South, you love Jesus.
And chicken.
Crazy accent.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I hate Chick-fil-A now.
And you worked there for 6 weeks?
No, I worked there for a year.
Oh, I thought
you
said 6 weeks.
I can't say it. Did you work at Chick-fil-A?
Nope.
You don't hate it then. Mm. I worked there and I hate it.
Was it that recent? Or?
No, it was when I was 15. This is a good, like, this is a good 15-year hatred I got going. I'm not going to stop
crazy.
Now.
That's crazy.
I made a commitment.
That's weird.
So you don't eat a Chick-fil-A?
It's my pleasure to not
You're
eat
You're a lot. He does eat a Chick-fil-A.
I do not. When's the last time I ate there?
That one time.
Exactly. This guy over here, you eat there one time at Chick-fil-A, and he's like, you love it! You love it forever! You love it every day! Every day!
Yeah.
Wow, he nailed you.
Nah,
that was so steep.
No, it was just, it was a bad experience for fast food. It was funny because our boss was like, and it's, you know, Christian environment, but everywhere in the back, he had the commandment, thou shalt not steal, posted over
goodness.
Everything. And he was like, watching you. He was always watching you.
Oh,
seriously.
My.
Always watching. That's him. Jamie Finley. I'll never forget it. And in his little picture, he had a little mustache.
No!
And he looked like Hitler. And it was like, where am I working? This is nuts. And the tipping point was when we had an ice storm, which you never have those in Mississippi,
right.
Like maybe once a year. And it was a really bad one. And I had to go to work. It didn't matter. He's like, no, you got to come in. My parents were like, no.
Don't do it.
No.
You'll die.
And I had to get in the dumpster and clean the dumpster one time.
Nope.
Yeah, because that makes sense. Clean the dumpster.
Wow.
Yeah, so I spent my year there because
you need us to go do this job skills interview thing so we can tell them all of our horror stories.
Yeah, just don't share your dumpster
experience. No, but here's the thing. I committed to a year and I stayed there for a year.
Wow, nice. Impressive.
And then I was like, I'm out.
He's got character.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
My first job was at Wendy's and I worked one entire day.
Nice!
Yeah, I couldn't get the ice at hitting her in the eye every single time.
Okay. Really? You're supposed to?
That's the indicator. Yeah.
No, the eye. Yeah. That's good.
It was her eyes. Yeah. That's where you fill the ice.
It's the eyes.
It's the ice.
The eyes machine.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well,
okay.
You guys just did a job fair.
There you go.
What's
next?
What do you need help
with
now?
We're going to do a girls' night. So we need donations.
Okay.
We're running so low. Because what's happening is you know, we've got a constant flow of appointments, but a lot of the girls are returning to do workshops. And if they get 6 hours worth of workshops, they can come back through.
That's cool.
Yeah. But, like, we need clothes.
There you go.
We need nice, nice clothes.
Okay.
Shoes, please.
Yeah.
If you love at-risk youth.
Please. Please give us clothes.
Or hate your clothes.
There you go. Project Zoe, Michelle Schroff in studio talking. Now, for those just joining us who maybe don't know, go backwards. Tell us a little bit about Project Zoe, the heart behind it, what you guys are doing with those at-risk youth.
Project Zoe is a ministry outreach for young ladies between the ages of 13 and 25. And what we do is invite them to come over. We have a little boutique, basically. And what we do is set the entire boutique up for their size. So it's a one-on-one personal experience where they come in, pick three articles of clothing, three accessories, and it's a nice boutique. So they feel special, and, you know, we wrap their stuff in tissue and put them in nice bags, and, you know, I think it's probably an experience that these girls have never received before. So, you know, what we're seeing now is a lot of repeat, a lot of girls coming back for the workshops, a lot of them, you know, wanting to share. And it's really neat, too, because this one young girl that came in, this is her second workshop that she's come to. And she's like, oh, you know, I never wear these sunglasses. Can I donate them? Mm-hmm. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, serious?
That's cool.
And she's aging out of the foster care system, and she doesn't want to be adopted. She's, you know, in high school, and she's just like, I just want to graduate from high school, go to college, and, you know, hopefully maintain a relationship with my bio family. And she's just a really neat girl.
Yeah.
And you get to know them, you know, and I think that that's the key for us is, you know, we love doing the appointments, but when they come back for, you know, workshops and girls' nights, and we are just so stoked because we get to know who they are and where they come from and hear their hopes and dreams. And it's so cool because you think, oh, what kind of hopes and dreams can they possibly have? And they do, big ones. A girl that I did the mock interview with last week, she wants to be a special ed teacher. And she's just like on fire, absolutely on fire. And we were able to talk a little bit about the Lord and just, you know, how God kind of orchestrates, you know. I mean, we're born, we know, when you're little, I mean, does someone have to tell you, hey, Steve-O, why don't you go read a comic book?
Right.
Well, no. Does every kid like comics? No. I mean, for me, it was baby dolls. Yeah. What?
What are you saying? What are you trying to say about
But for
it?
Me, it was dolls. You know, I loved dolls. I loved playing with babies. I mean, that was just... And not all my friends did. They were like, Michelle, seriously? All the kids would be playing outside, and I'd be inside with my little cousin, you know, babying him and mothering him. And so it's one of those things that I really believe that God puts that in us when we're small, and we lose sight, whether it be for the money, whether it be for, you know, because of our circumstances or settling or saying, you know, I'll take that job just because it's going to pay me. And, you know, there are times we have to.
Yeah.
But to continue striving, and that's what I'm seeing, is that we're able to encourage them. You know what? Yeah. Keep going. Continue with school.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You know, if you need clothes, if you need, you know, help filling out your college applications, financial aid, we're here. So we love it. We absolutely love it. We love these girls.
You can find all the details at facebook.com/mystaticradio. Facebook.com/mystaticradio for Project Zoe. And of course, Michelle, always.
Always.
Thank you. You guys are doing awesome work. Mm. It's really, really cool.
It's the Lord.
We would love to help out, but unfortunately, coming up here in a minute, we're probably going to be deported.
Yes.
So Doug has found the U.S. Citizens Quiz, and it looks like, you know, in honor of tomorrow being 4th of July, Mateo and I are going to take it.
Boom!
And see if we belong
in
America.
That's frightening.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. That's,
can you imagine
that's
how many
up.
People's citizenships could be revoked, and then the people that actually know our history could actually stay.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it.
I don't even want to talk about the fact that I was watching a TV show, Turn. It's about the Revolutionary War. And it was like, 1777. And I'm like, hey, man, this is stupid. Because the war obviously took place before 1776 when we got our independence.
Oh.
No, actually.
No.
Yeah, we declared independence, and then we actually had to fight for our freedom. Yeah.
Well, duh.
Yeah, totally.
That's how
knew
we
that,
do
APS.
It.
Yeah, sweet man. Thanks. I'll be thanking them coming up here in just a few minutes, too, when I totally fail this quiz.
That's right. There's a dude speaking on that whole topic at Remedy Church this weekend,
that's
from what I hear.
Yeah, that's what I heard. RemedyABQ.org for more on that. Anyways, thanks, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, ladies.
Coming up, Teo and I, hopefully, will still be U.S. citizens.
We shall see.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static!
Let the broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Castle Fun.
take a look and see how you people are acting right now. Nope, not any better. An accident to report, Montgomery Boulevard West at Wantabo Boulevard. Also, construction's closed, 2nd Street North at Central. Around the construction at Paseo del Norte and I-25, we have a stalled vehicle. The right lane's blocked, Paseo del Norte West at Jefferson. Also, there's flooding southwest corner of town at Ramick Road and Coors Boulevard. That is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Phoenix is currently upset because your butt is where his Bible's going to be for Theology Thursday.
Terrible. Oh, let me go ahead and reposition myself.
Reposition your butt.
There so, okay, good.
No bigs. I love that prima donna right there. He's my favorite.
He's a good one.
Welcoming into the show, Middays with Mitch.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, girl?
Hey.
We figured you needed to be in here because if we're going to look like idiots, we want our friends to look like idiots, too. So,
amen.
Thank you for coming in and being a part of it.
And thank you for being our friend.
Yeah, because today, you know, is our last day of the week, really.
I've never
because,
said that.
Tomorrow, 4th of July, celebrating our freedom. Those Americans.
Hey, we got a reply to one of our static emails.
Ooh,
static
what'd they say? What'd they say?
I will be out of the office until 7 a.m. July 7th.
Yeah!
Cool. Okay.
Right on.
Good response.
Well, thank you so much.
Not out of the office is our producer extraordinaire.
Yeah, he's
and
here.
All-around good guy, Doug!
Doug!
Hey.
Hey,
Doug.
Buddy.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey.
Love you, Doug.
I think it's a pleasure to have you on because I feel like I'm about to look like an idiot. So.
Cool, man. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
All right.
I'm producer with you Doug this. Had an incredible idea, being that it is, you know,
July 3rd.
July 3rd. And we're about to celebrate our freedom, our independence as Americans. We should, at least if we're proud to be Americans, be able to pass the U.S. Citizens test,
Amen.
Right? As
Amen.
Americans, we should know about America.
America.
Oh, gosh. Are we ready?
I hope so.
Okay. I hope so, too.
All right, here's how it goes. You have 10 questions. You have to get at least six. Actually, we're going to do 20 questions. You have to get at least 12 right.
At least 12.
Oh, that's easy.
Okay. We got this, Doug.
12 out of 20. All right, you guys.
Got this.
You guys ready?
All right.
Hey, get off your phone.
What?
Put your phone away right now.
Mitch, put your phone up.
If you cheat,
I'm not even on my
don't
phone.
Cheat,
if
Mitch.
If you freaking cheat now, you already get a plus one because you have a Captain America.
Captain America.
You have a Captain America phone case, so that's Mitch already has plus one.
Plus
so
one. Ding.
Good job. Plus one for that.
Hey, put your phones right there.
Give me your phone.
It's right there.
No,
right
give there. Me your phone. Right I don't there. Trust you because we can't turn around and watch you.
Yeah, Mitch, put it right there by mine.
No, got it. Pockets.
Never mind, Doug. Don't text me the answers.
Oh, dude. Oh, okay. I see how it goes. Okay, okay.
All right, well, first question. Easy. What is the name of the national anthem?
The Star-Spangled Banner.
Ding!
All right. You guys are correct.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Are we sharing this quiz in collectively?
No, you guys all get it. I'm keeping points.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Next question. How many justices are on the Supreme Court?
12.
How many?
Wait, justices in the Supreme Court?
Yeah. Yes.
Didn't they just do that Hobby Lobby thing, and there were votes, and none of the females voted for Hobby Lobby?
Did you say 12?
I said 12.
Was it 7-5?
I said 12.
Yeah, I'm going to say 12.
That's an even number, and I feel like they need to like have an odd number just in case to keep it.
7-5 sounds like it works.
7-5. Well, 7-5, I think, was that the vote? Or
it's 12, 9, 10, or 11 are your choices.
Mm. 12.
Oh, see, it's a multiple choice.
I'm going to go with 12.
I'm going 12.
All right, you guys said 12. The correct answer was 9.
Yeah!
5-4 in favor of Hobby Lobby.
Okay, that's see, I knew there was a 5 in there. That's
all right.
Good job.
My bad, guys.
Next up.
Trying.
How many trees are there in the United States?
Oh, easy.
Okay.
1.1 billion, 1.4 billion, 2.2 billion, or 3 billion?
2.2.
The answer is... No one can actually know. That's my answer.
All right, we'll go with 2.2 billion for your answer also.
Oh. Yeah. Was that right?
No, for this, okay, so was there's right? two different tests. One of them, you can actually find out the answers right away. The other one, we have to wait till the end.
Great, okay. So we don't know.
That's good.
No,
that's good.
Cool.
America.
All right,
America.
What are two rights of everyone living in the United States? Freedom of speech.
Yep.
And freedom to run for president, freedom of speech and freedom of worship, freedom of worship and freedom to make treaties with other countries, freedom to petition the government, and freedom to disobey traffic laws.
Freedom of speech and freedom to worship.
Yes.
Yeah, B.
All right. You guys are correct.
Yay. Oh.
All right.
We're on the educational band, so we know that.
We got this. Okay.
What is freedom of religion? Is it you can choose the time you practice your religion? You can practice any religion or not practice a religion. No one can practice a religion, or you must choose a religion.
Wait, what is the question?
B.
What is freedom of religion?
I agree.
What was B?
You can practice any religion or not practice a religion.
Yeah, B.
B.
All right. You guys are correct.
All right. Oh.
So far, guys, so good.
We're citizens.
I'm good.
Yes. Stupid. Don't revoke us, America. We love you. We love you.
Who does a U.S. senator represent?
Oh,
is it
no.
only the people in the state who voted for the senator? The state's legislators? All people of the state who belong to the senator's political party?
Nope.
All people of the state.
D.
C. Oh,
all
wait.
People of the state.
D.
I'm confused.
No,
all
not,
people
not,
of the state.
Like if you're a Republican
or
senator.
Wait.
I stopped listening after C.
You don't represent just Republicans, do you?
Does he just represent the legislators?
I thought the senator
Can
represents
you repeat
the
C
I'm gonna say
and D.
D. I'm going to say D.
C was all people of the state who belong to the senator's political party, and D was all people of the state.
D.
D.
All of you guys say D?
Yes. Yep.
All right. You guys were correct.
Yes! Oh! Still a citizen so far. So
all
far,
right. So next up. In the United States, what is the most polite way to refuse a building being built in your honor? Do you... Is it a handwritten letter? A phone call? Taking out an ad in the local newspaper? Or is it over dinner?
A.
I'm going to say it's
D,
over dinner.
Over dinner. I'm with you.
I'm polite. Going to
over
say
dinner,
that
man.
It's
come
a
on.
Handwritten letter.
I'm going right. to say it's D, polite.
You'll find out about that one in a little bit.
Oh!
Especially if you're buying the dinner. That's super polite.
I mean, right?
That's way more polite than a handwritten letter.
Yeah,
handwritten
like,
letter.
Hey, man.
All right, moving forward. What did Susan B. Anthony do?
She fought for women's rights.
Or did she make the first flag?
No, that was
did she
no.
found Ross. The Red Cross?
No.
Wait. Or was she the first Ooh. Woman elected to the House of Representatives?
C. I say C.
Oh,
C,
no.
C, Red Cross. C, Red Cross.
I think she fought for women's rights.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm going with.
I'm going with D.
All right. The correct answer was fought for women's rights,
ah!
Michelle.
Great job.
Michelle, you're a woman.
Oh.
Okay, continue, Doug.
Man.
What are two cabinet-level positions? Secretary of Weather and Secretary of Energy? Secretary of Health and Human Services and Secretary of the Navy? Secretary of Homeland Security and Secretary of the Treasury? Or Secretary of the Interior and Secretary of History?
Did you say cabinet-level?
Oh,
yes,
B or
C.
They all have one.
It's either B or C.
Where are you going?
I don't know. What is B again?
B is Secretary of Health and Human Services and Secretary of the Navy.
And what's C?
C was Secretary of Homeland Security and Secretary of the Treasury.
C.
I'll go with C.
C.
C? All right. You guys were correct.
Yes! Oh! America!
All right. Moving along.
Moving right along.
With good timing.
How old do citizens have to be to vote for the president of the United States?
18.
All right.
18.
Yes, dude, we are so
good. How old do you have to
so
be
good.
To run for president? 35.
I was going to say 42.
Moving forward?
Moving forward.
Name one state that borders Mexico.
New Mexico.
Texas.
Alabama, Arkansas, California, or Florida?
California.
California.
Knows how to party.
All right, you guys
In
are correct
city.
Again.
City of Compton.
Thank you.
Moving forward. There are numerous people in the United States eating right now.
No, there's
How many
not.
Individual teeth are involved in eating at this very moment? 146 million, 147 million,
this is not
148
real.
Million, or 149 million?
I'm going 148, man.
148
even.
Million.
147.
Even. Oh, even.
147. Because some of those people don't have all their teeth.
Yeah,
but I'm just going to go ahead and say 148 million.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with you.
We will find out about that one later.
You gotta think about all the states.
Where in the United States is a thunderstorm occurring right now? Reno, Nevada? Grand Rapids? Boston? Or all of the above?
All of the above!
No, no, not all of the
above. Grand Rapids.
Yeah, I would say Michigan. Michigan, man.
Okay.
All right.
Come on!
Those ones are because that one's a you have to fill it out all together.
I got you.
Who is in charge of the executive branch? The Speaker of the House?
President.
The Chief of Justice? The Prime Minister?
Commander-in-Chief.
Or the President?
The President.
Commander-in-Chief.
Yes.
All right. Let's see if you guys are right. You guys are right!
Yeah. Oh. Man, I thought this was going to be really tough.
I know. No, this is tough.
Okay.
Come on, we got this.
I don't know how many teeth are America. Chewing right now.
Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one power of the federal government? To provide schooling? To provide police departments? To issue driver's license? Or to make treaties?
Oh, no. I have no idea.
Of the federal government.
Yes.
Federal government. Because DMV is different state to state, so that would be
who
your
funds
state.
The police department?
I thought city and state, right?
I
city,
think you're
Albuquerque
right.
Police
yeah.
Department.
Yeah, yeah, because we have
state police.
All right, what's mm-hmm. what's the yeah? Because then you have like the federal.
So it's either treaties,
bureau.
Treaties, or what's the other one?
To issue driver's licenses.
No,
to
so
provide
treaties.
Schooling.
Oh, schooling.
Schooling. No,
state.
No,
isn't that still state?
APS. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going treaties.
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 The answer is correct. Treaties.
Yeah! Oh. You're welcome, America.
America, you guys, good little Americans.
Yes.
If we say America one more time, I'm going to explode.
America. All right. America.
Oh no!
Oh,
all
gosh.
Right. Well, Steve on Mitch. Teo just
Teo,
exploded.
Oh, he's fine.
Oh.
All right. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers. Was it Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, John Adams, or James Madison?
James Madison.
John Adams.
James Madison.
All right. Let's see. The answer, Mr. James Madison.
Good job, guys.
What happened?
What did you do?
I was just going different. I wanted a, you know, city different.
America.
All that, you know.
All right.
He how just many, had an HBO special, you know, I mean, come on.
How many citizen points do you need to redeem for an American flag beach ball?
12!
Is it 2,500?
No, this one's way off.
3,000?
They're trying to trick us, it's 12.
5,000?
I got one last
or
week.
Or is it 15,000?
No, these are all wrong,
wait,
it's a trick 5, question.
5,000.
What are 5, the what was the question?
You didn't
how many
get those?
Citizen points do you need to redeem
points.
For an American flag beach ball?
You probably don't know because you're a terrible driver and they
no,
take points
no,
away.
No, no, no.
I think they
only
stuff.
Issue those to the male in
oh,
the family.
Oh,
I don't think
oh gosh.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to answer this question in front of Mitch then?
Yeah.
I
think
C.
you can answer it because it's okay
C.
to let them know yeah. that it's something else they can't have.
It's just think like with your dad, Camel Bucks, okay? It's like, can't, you know how you
no,
did,
he,
like,
he did the Marlboro.
The Marlboro Red, the Red. Okay, good. Wow! T-shirt? T-shirt, beach ball?
I say 5,000.
I'll go with 5,000.
Yeah.
All right.
In the event the United States ever needs to raise money quickly, what is the agreed-upon first state that will be sold? New Hampshire, Wyoming, North Carolina, or Colorado?
It should be Wyoming.
It should be...
It's Wyoming.
New Hampshire.
It is Wyoming.
Like on, isn't it on
nope.
It's New Hampshire.
New
I agree.
Hampshire is
New
one of
Hampshire.
The original
it's one
colonies.
Of the
right, but it's like
I don't
out
care.
There on
nope.
the
they're
edge.
They're still
Wyoming.
Angry.
It's on the
they're
edge.
Angry.
There's nothing
it's
in
not
Wyoming.
The heart of
they
America.
Are an angry
raise
colony,
your hand if
New
you've
Hampshire.
Driven through New Hampshire. Raise your hand if you've driven through Wyoming. It's Wyoming, Doug.
All right.
New Hampshire.
How many New pairs Hampshire. Of khakis should each American own? 1, 2, 5, or 10?
Wait. Two. Average
two.
American?
Yeah, two. Yeah. Two.
No, should
our boss
each.
Is wearing
no.
khakis? Is Phoenix wearing
not
khakis
average.
As well?
No. It's not just, average.
It's not
okay.
It's
scholars.
How many should each American
two.
Own?
It should
American.
At least be
it should
two.
Be two because you have some important holidays to wear those on.
No, but here's the thing. Sometimes holidays fall closely together, and if they're both dirty somehow, because like say you wear a pair like
a good
church,
American would wash their pants.
Khakis. I'm just saying, man, sometimes, you know, especially
two.
If you're, like, charismatic.
The answer is two.
I'm going with two.
What's the other options?
1, 5, 1, 2, 5, 10.
Oh, five is too many. Yeah, two.
Two.
Okay.
Two. Okay.
Yeah, two it is.
And the last
you guys
one.
Are right. Okay.
What does the map of the United States look like if you squint your eyes? An iguana, a foot race, a grapefruit, or a flock of birds?
Flock of birds.
Iguana.
All right.
I was in between iguana and flock of birds, quite honestly.
No, because, well, yeah, but the tail and the, I don't know, it's just too much happening over on the East Coast.
Yeah, 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 it's a fat iguana.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there are, to go back
head,
on some of these,
legs,
there are,
tail. No, but there's like
2.2 billion trees in the United States.
Boom!
Wow.
The most polite way to refuse a building being built in your honor was over dinner.
Yeah! Yeah!
No! I'm writing a letter.
The next one.
That'll get them.
The numerous, the teeth eating, chewing right now was 148 million.
Wow!
I said 147. I gave and everybody then, not enough credit.
The thunderstorms was taking place in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah!
Good job, guys.
The points for the beach ball was 5,000.
Yeah! Wow!
And the state that was going to be sold was indeed Wyoming.
Boom!
Ew!
And
thank
the khakis was 2.
Yeah!
Wow! Yeah! Wow!
And if you squinted your eyes, it looked like an iguana.
Yes!
Mateo is the most American person working here.
So American.
You're so American.
I want to thank
buddy.
The universe.
Yeah.
The universe has been helping me out lately.
Stop it, Jim Carrey.
If you guys, you can fail at what you hate, so why not fail at what you love?
Thank you, Jim Carrey.
Now thank the universe.
With that, we have Theology Thursday on the way.
Right around the corner, B-Nix, Jared Petro joining us in studio for Theology Thursday. Mishers, thanks for helping
no
us.
No probs.
There you go, and that's it. Doug, you're amazing.
Mateo, you're an American.
You are American.
Bless it.
Good job. Right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time for Theology Thursday, everybody.
Theology Steve-O, Thursday.
Mateo, Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
In the house.
We are all here.
Man, some great fireworks last night.
You met
pretty
some?
Pretty cool. Met some.
Nice.
Yeah, lit some. It's great to be here, though. Last week I wasn't. I was out. So I'm here this week.
Good I'm going to take a back seat because today you guys are talking science and all that, and I'm an idiot. So I'm out. Teo has read all the articles. He already wrote a dissertation.
Yeah, I can see that.
Dude, yeah.
The death of postmodernism.
He's got it. He's excited. So we've got a lot to cover today. It is Theology Thursday. If you would like to chime in, there's many different ways you can approach it. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. That's Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You can chime in there. You can also submit an email to us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Again, studio@mystaticradio.com. Or give us a call. Phone lines are open. Producer Doug hanging out. He'd love to hear from you. 505-338-3700, the phone number. It's 505-338-3700. And, dude, you guys came in prepared.
Yes.
Guns blazing.
Yeah,
we did.
We did.
We have a couple ideas.
Yeah.
Especially Brian.
Lots.
Well, because, you know, there's always something going on in the world that really requires a biblical answer.
Yeah.
Especially soccer.
No, we talked about that last week. But Jarrett watched this trailer about gentlemen, doctors, who are trying to reverse the cellular process.
Yeah.
And create longevity or immortality, if you will, this ancient quest for people to live forever. So what it caused us to do is go, that's interesting. Here's this documentary about these scientists who are trying to reverse cellular process, trying to live forever. But what exactly does the Bible have to say about this? So we thought that would be a great springboard is to talk about some of those things. And then that led into this idea, which we have addressed here and there on Theology Thursday, about pseudo or faux modern era. What does all of this mean as we're entering in a new era of existence? And what does that era mean, both biblically and sociologically? So, but let's tackle the first one. Jared, give us a little bit of background.
You know, are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. I got the big mic. I got Steve-O's mic here. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, you know what? I'm actually reminded about what, you know, Paul, he described, you know, it caused me as I was watching some of these scientists breaking, you know, cutting-edge scientists like Dr. Andrews and such over in, you know, the UK, making these cutting-edge discoveries of how, you know, to affect the cell and cause it to go backwards, if you will, and reverse it scientifically, thus producing life, not necessarily life, but actually slowing down to a point which actually reverses the decaying process. I was reminded of Paul in Romans chapter 8. It says, he brings up this interesting thought.
just to consider. He says, but the spirit of him, which is speaking of the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, he dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And what Paul is saying there, and caused me to think as I was watching this documentary called The Immortalist, was the fact that, you know, God has said that, you know, the same spirit who rose Christ from the dead dwells in us and gives life to our mortal bodies now, not later, but right now. Now, we do know, as you know, Jesus was speaking as he raised Lazarus from the grave. You know, it was confessed that he is the resurrection and the life. And, of course, even, you know, one of the sisters there says, but Lord, you know, we believe that's going to happen in the future. But no, he says, no, I am now. And that's what's interesting, is that only God can give life. But it is fascinating, the day we live in with nanotechnology, bioeugenics, all this kind of stuff that's happening around the world, and the push for artificial intelligence, and you name it, we're getting closer and closer, and the breakthroughs are astounding. To me, it's a fascinating hobby, if you will.
Yeah.
But I guess the biggest overarching question that I'll lay out there and have Brian begin to talk about maybe a little bit philosophically is the question of, if this happens, well, it's the if is taken out, it will happen, they believe. Where does the, you know, the stand, what stand should we take? Do we begin to, you know, take a stand and live forever, if you will, by reversing the dying cells? Is it possible to do that, first of all? Secondly, is there, you know, philosophically and even morally, is it right to do? Is it right to prolong death, if you will? And that gets into some other moral issues. And when is man playing God? Is he allowing, you know, is the process supposed to take us out? Is death a blessing or is it a curse? That kind of stuff. So it becomes more of a philosophical issue. And that's what a lot of these scientists are dealing with, is do we continue to do our research? Because we it's not a matter of if for us, it's a matter of when. And we've made these breakthroughs and we're seeing changes.
Yeah. Let me just start off by saying that, you know, you asked some specific questions regarding this, you know, but first of all, this whole cellular process, I believe that it is possible. And not only is it possible, I firmly believe that ultimately this is what the Lord is going to do. He's going to transform or regenerate the cellular process. Why do I say that? Because I think somewhere within the first chapter of the first few chapters of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3 specifically, in verse 17, when the Lord said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, curses the ground of your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. It appears to me that when they ate from the tree of, you know, good or evil, that something happened on the cellular process. And I know a couple of Theology Thursdays ago, we discussed, well, what is exactly what did happen? We don't know officially. Some conjecture that maybe that particular fruit did something to the DNA on a genetic level, transferred it, and skewed it, almost like a mutation that caused humans to be sinful creatures, because that wasn't the original intention. So it appears, though there isn't clear biblical evidence, but it appears that something at the genetic level, some sort of mutation occurred within humanity that has caused us to become sinners, if you will, that sin is now forever part of that. Now, when we get to the New Testament and we look at what the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, there's going to be reconstituted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We are actually going back to God's first principle. God initially made us, created humanity to live with us, to abide with us, to walk with us, we find in Genesis 1 in the garden. Well, we find that again in Revelation. So there's these bookends. So what seems to happen is that God will somehow reconstitute, reform, refashion the DNA molecular structure so that we will not be these lifelong sinners that sin. There will sin, no tears, no shedding of all that. So is it possible? I believe it is, because I think that's what God is probably going to do, a reconstituted person. Now, is it probable that man will reach that? That is the big question. I am not sure, because what seems to happen, and you see this throughout all of nature, that when man makes progress in certain areas, and I say this, so forgive me up front, but all heck breaks loose elsewhere. So when we, let's say, find an immunization for a particular disease, well, another bacterium or another virus from a different angle seems to attack. Why? Because I think life at this juncture is made to cease, made to die. So even science may make inroads to understanding the DNA process, this, you know, reversing cellular processes. I think in the long run, they may make those processes, but there will be something else within the human body that will cause destruction and decay.
You know, I'm reminded of also in that same Romans chapter 8, Brian, in addition to the Genesis portion of scripture that you read there and whether the DNA was actually affected, you know, that is the part of sin that affected the human body. We know that something definitely happened to the universe. It actually speaks, Paul says, that it's even the earnest expectation of creation as it waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, for even creation was subjected in futility, not willingly, but by him who subjected it in hope. And even creation moans and groans because, you know, it's waiting for this to happen, this transformation. And it speaks about the whole creation groans and moans and labors, waiting for the redemption of the body of the glorious body to come. And it speaks about humankind, that there is going to be a redemptive value, if you will, to the body. And that's why, you know, the whole idea of resurrection comes into play with the human body, how God can take, you know, something that has been dead and make it alive like a seed. And Paul uses this, you know, analogy, if you will, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, with the seed dying to the ground, coming out and producing something else. And it's just a fascinating topic. And again, we're reminded, you know, of the frailty of man. We man has a thirst and the search, you know, whether scientifically, morally, all that, to figure things out, to want to be better. And it is fascinating scientifically to see those breakthroughs.
I think, you know, C.S. Lewis, and this is just a paraphrase of him, you know, that yearning, that longing that we have for that joy or that love or that immortality really shows that we weren't created for this world. Really, I think that longing within human hearts of saying, man, I just want to live forever. I want to find some sort of scientific solution to death and dying. Well, C.S. Lewis, and I think he's right, was saying that is God's innate stamp on the soul of human beings to say you weren't made for this world. You were made for everlasting life. And obviously, Paul, as you alluded to in First, you know, Corinthians 15, that whole chapter deals with the death and resurrection of Christ, and not only of Christ, but of all believers. And so I would contend that when we come back with Christ to rule and reign on the new heavens and new earth, that our DNA is reconstituted. But here's the issue. It is God who has reconstituted. It is the Creator that has, you know, control reformed of, of the creation. We are the creation trying to, you know, if you will, manifest our own destiny. Sure. That ultimately I don't think will happen, because Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, as in Adam all men died, so too in Christ all shall live. Yeah. So as great and as noble these two scientists' quest is to try to reconfigure the DNA, I'm not convinced that it will have ultimate success.
And I'll just say, to clarify, you know, I don't think mankind, in the sense when they begin to play like that, is as far as God. Again, very noble. I think there's some great things scientifically. This is not a hit against, you know, even producing human organs. And I mean, there's some great breakthroughs of cancer and breaking that.
Totally.
Trying to bring a healing process. And but it's interesting that it just goes further and further to a point of where mankind can control. And even in the documentary, the film that they produced, very well done, is speaking about, you know, will man, you know, there will be a day where we'll look back and say, man didn't have to die. There's, you know, we're able to stop time, stop death. And that's what these men are, the accolades they're receiving. Yeah. So it's pretty fascinating.
The fascinating thing about, to me, in all of this is man, throughout all of these years, centuries, thousands upon thousands of years, have always wanted to try to be like God.
Right.
You know, man, since day one, since Adam ate of that fruit and Eve ate of that fruit, you know, this yearning to want to know the difference between good and evil, this yearning to be free will, to be God-like, has never left us. And that's essentially what these guys are trying to do. But we know that ultimately they may make some great inroads, some great discoveries, and we really congratulate them on that. But I don't know if they're going to be able to reverse death.
I think
only God.
Right. Yeah, I think because you got two examples of people rising from the dead in the New Testament, right, where Jesus, you know, brought Lazarus back, and then Jesus himself. And you got two things. You have one, like a re-raised mortal body, and then you have glorified body, which Jesus had, because it's like he looked like he was normal.
Good
he had
point.
Scars and stuff like that, yeah. But he's walking through walls, he's appearing and disappearing and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
And but then he's still eating. He's like eating with the guys or whatever, or at least cooking or whatever.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, I've been reading this book on heaven, and I'll just say it's Randy Alcorn, right?
Randy Alcorn.
And fascinating book on just the view of heaven and how Christ will appear, which in some ways, like, heaven's not far out there. It's, you know, the Lord is among us, and it's really good.
N.T. Wright has that as
very
well.
Brilliant.
That heaven's not out there.
And I think
it's transdimensionality.
Yeah. It's great stuff.
You know, switching topics, a little bit of cellular process. Let me just wrap up one other thought, because I think we've exhausted the cellular process. But scientists do make great inroads in some of these areas. You know, a lot of people, you know, go back 10 years when the whole cloning of Dolly, you know, we cloned the sheep and the ethical, moral things. And these are areas that ethicists, biblical theologians, and people are going to have to tackle with. They're very serious, and they require a lot of thought, both biblically and ethically, to sit down and do it. But moving from that topic, you know, going into what you guys just kind of opened up, this idea of, you know, heaven and what will our lives or bodies be like. And we do have Jesus as the example. So it appears to us that in our reconstituted bodies, be it in glory or when the Lord comes and we're living on heaven and earth, it seems to be that they will have transdimensionality properties.
Yeah.
Because if Christ is our model, then in his resurrected body, Paul bends over backwards in 1 Corinthians 15 to show, because Christ rose from the dead, we too, believers, will be risen from the dead like him. So it would appear to me, again, and I'm not trying to get too far out there, but it would seem that we would have access to transdimensionality. And that's exactly what we see, where heaven and earth meet.
That's right.
Where the God's dimensionality and human dimensionality meet. And so it is fascinating. How did Jesus walk on water? Well, obviously, he had access to that transdimensionality. Right. How did he walk through walls? You know, when he came back, well, he obviously had access to transdimensionality, which would then lead us to say, from a scientific standpoint, how is that possible? Mm-hmm. And what that opens up is a host of many theories out there. We call them string theory. We call them M theory. We call them ohms. And we give all of this stuff different names. But essentially what scientists are grappling for is what the Bible clearly states, that there is more than the four dimensions that we live on, that there is more dimensionality in the universe than what we perceive and know. And so there's a whole field of theoretical physics that deals specifically with these topics.
Wow.
Great stuff, man.
It is.
Really cool.
Well, you know, you think even of the physicality of Christ, and, you know, he's in his resurrected body, but still has the wounds.
Yeah.
And, you know,
like Matt brought up.
Yeah, Matt, it is great. I mean, great example, being able to transfer.
It is very, and what Matt points out is that Jesus had the semblance, the form of a humanity, but the totality of what he was capable of doing on planet Earth goes to show that transdimensionality was a real thing. And scientists, particularly since really it's post-Einstein, when Einstein proposed the theory of relativity, and then we get into a variety of quantum physics and so on and so forth. But as these things began to unravel and people began to look more deeply, what scientists now are realizing is the probability and the possibility of a multiverse. As a matter of fact, most scientists right now, theoretical physicists, though they don't all agree, would say that the universe really has up to 11 dimensions. It's not just length, width, height, and time, which are the four dimensions we know. They would say then there's another 7 dimensions on top of that are compressed. At the creation of the world, those dimensions were compressed, and they're only accessible through certain things. And scientists would say through black holes, through wormholes, through going faster than the speed of light and so on and so forth. But biblically, we would say, wow, those dimensions are accessible. Mm-hmm. The angelic world lives there. Christ had access to them. Miracles occur because of them. And really what that is an unfolding of that transdimensionality.
Are you like a kid in a candy store?
This is like House of Heroes van talk.
This is Teo's favorite topic. Hey, here's my idiot. I'm going to come in here and you guys are talking all deep and stuff. And I'm like, hey, man, I got a quick question for y'all, though. So, real quick, though. You're talking about living forever and whatnots and stuff. Okay, look, there's a restaurant in freaking Colorado where the wait staff, it's called Shooter's Grill, and the wait staff carry guns at all times. So we can use all this cellular regeneration and all the things that we want to use. Is that going to regenerate our idiot human brains to stop killing each other with guns and car accidents? Is that going to stop accidents? Is it going to stop?
That's exactly right. And that's what I'm saying.
We're never going to stop dying.
That's exactly right.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I'm
because
not an idiot.
Because ultimately, let's even take it more base. Car accidents and everything. But let's say someone burns up in a fire.
Yeah, right.
And your cellular structure is destroyed through a fire. Only, and that's my point, only God can reconstitute the cellular level in an ultimate sense. We may make progress in reversing it. We may unravel the DNA structure, which, by the way, a Christian man, Francis Collins, was in charge of the Human Genome Project.
That's right.
And he's a brilliant man, and I really thank God for his life and his research. But they could only go so far. Ultimately, only the Creator can reconstitute creation. But what it shows is man's quest to try to be like the Creator.
You know, and I like what Steve said, though. You know, you can't take away the stamp of sin on someone's life either. You know, we're still going to be dumb and there's still going to be sin. Imagine living in this state. I mean, would you want to live forever in a fallen body?
And, I'm a vampire.
You know what I mean? Besides being a comic book hero, you know what I'm saying?
I think the difference is the glorified body versus immortal body, which is what I was talking about
while ago.
Because even if I think it could be totally possible. 20 years, we're keeping people from dying. But then what does that mean? Because just like Steve-O said, you walk outside and get hit by a car, you're still dead.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, even if you delay that process, it's not the glorified body.
Yeah. And again, this comes back to, you know, obviously the biblical foundations of what the Bible teaches, obviously, particularly in Genesis, what Paul reiterates in Corinthians, what Revelation in chapters 20 through 22 are speaking about. And what we're getting is a grand narrative, this grand narrative of God's original intentions, man's fall from those original intentions, and then God restoring those original intentions through Christ. So all of this is happening within God's time frame, within his economy. Man tries to obviously speed up the process. We try to do it on our own means, but God is going to be the ultimate author of all of this. But you know what all scientific discovery is, it really is fascinating, because what we're finding are the different characteristics of God. Because like we have the book of God, the Bible, nature is the other book of God. God has revealed himself through his natural world. And Paul, you know, clearly states that in Romans chapter 1. And so as we begin to unravel and understand nature in its detailed variances, we get a glimpse into the majesty of who God is. And so people are fascinated by transdimensionality. People are, you know, fascinated by, clone reversal. I mean, cell reversal and cloning and what have you. And there are some great minds that have put it out there. Let me just throw, because so many people are fascinated by the transdimensionality, and everyone goes, "Well, has anyone ever tackled this from a Christian standpoint?" The answer is yes. Yeah. A gentleman by the name of Hugh Ross, who's an astrophysicist, brilliant man, lives in Southern California. He wrote a book several years back called Beyond the Cosmos, where he, at that point, and of course some of the theories have changed since then or mutated, but he tackled what some of the latest and current theories at the time of string theory and the like were stating, and he relayed that to a biblical model. And so those of you who are interested, get Beyond the Cosmos by Hugh Ross. And really, it is mind-boggling, some of the things that are out there.
Some great resources out there. Another great resource by Jonathan Hickman, Volume 1 of New Avengers.
Yes, absolutely.
It tackles all of this interdimensional...
currently going on.
Going on right now. You know, Reed Richards, he's the greatest mind in the universe, says everything dies.
Wolverine can regenerate.
So, you know, there's some great, but,
you know,
great books out
Let me give some other non-Christian books.
Okay, but, well, I just did.
How could you do it?
Avengers!
No, dude, comics are Christian.
Yeah, but... But let me say, you have the popular, ever so popular, Brian Greene.
Okay.
PBS did some books on his, and he does deal a little bit with wormholes and string theory and so on and so forth.
What?
And some of those, you could even go on PBS and watch his documentaries. Obviously, he's not taking it from a Christian standpoint, but to really grasp some of the new work in the realm of transdimensionality and theoretical physics and so on and so forth. But I used to eat this stuff up.
Yeah.
I used to read like a book a week on this stuff.
Old Timmy Skip from House of Heroes, this is his thing.
This is his thing. You know, but you know, when you think about even cells themselves or atoms and molecules and all that, it's not visible to the naked eye. So there are, obviously there are things around us in a constant level that are, you know, that are there, if you will, that just because you can't sense it, it's there. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
and one,
it, it's fascinating.
One other one. And another guy who really has a wonderful way of conveying these truths in unique fashion. His name is Michio Kaku. And we would know who he is because he... We see him all over the place. He on
is
Good Morning
you,
America.
Machio.
They use. He's kind of one of the resident theoretical physicists. He's an American scientist, and he's written some great books about string theory and M theory and all these different theories that Machio are floating around about transdimensionality. But they're not Christian. But again, underneath all of it, what they're talking about is transdimensionality, which the Bible has always taught.
Yeah,
right on.
Hey. Wait, no, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to do the
phone
number. Hey, it's Theology Thursday. It's Thursday, Theology.
Before we move on to the other thing, I want to say this is all interesting to me because we forget the importance of, well, it's just like we're looking at scientists today and the ultimate thing they're trying to do is get rid of death.
Right.
And that's the thing that's been going on for forever. And we talked a few weeks ago around Easter how when Jesus resurrected, and that is the ultimate answer to it, we know that. But that's why it was such a pivotal and different thing, is that that's what everybody was trying to get at, and nobody could get it. And all these other Messiah figures, when they rose, quote unquote, they disappeared into like a bodiless state or a soul type state, which right. is like a Greek philosophy thing. But the sad thing is, and N.T. Wright points this out a lot of that's crept into the church. Yeah. I grew up Southern Baptist and basically believed that when I died, this was not my home, and my soulless my soul was going to go to heaven, mm-hmm. which was away from here. And that's total like Greek philosophy. That's not biblical. That's not Jewish thought
right.
in the Old Testament. The big answer to why did Jesus? Because we focus so much on the cross.
Right.
Why did he rise from the dead? Well, he rose from the dead with a glorified body, and he was here on earth. And
right.
then we're promised the new heavens and new earth in Revelation. So that's like the big importance to me about why all this transdimensional and stuff. But there's a functioning body. You're not
right.
a soulless. Like, I remember one guy, I don't know when this happened, but it's like, well, man, they give the measurements out for the new temple in Revelation. How's everybody going to fit in there? And then somebody said, well, we're all just going to be souls floating around. That's how.
Oh, man.
And
yeah.
that's in the church.
Right.
That's
yeah.
like
no,
all
no,
been
no
it.
Question. Matt, you raised such an important part, and that is, and Skip actually talked about it recently too, there is a huge biblical illiteracy within the church. People just don't know. We have bought into certain principles, if you will, that we just adopt, and it's like, well, we just kind of die, we go to heaven, we play harps on a cloud. We have these images. Mm-hmm. But clearly, the Bible is emphatic, particularly in Revelation, and Paul alludes to it again in 1 Corinthians 15 that we've mentioned. But in Revelation 21, when the author of Revelation, John, is talking about how God makes all things new, and he specifically talks about the New Jerusalem, the glory of this New Jerusalem, how we will be living bodily in this new reconstituted heaven and earth. So it is true. What probably the verbiage, and we know what people mean when we say, you know, you're dying, you're going to heaven, but probably the more, you know, proper biblical term, and I'm not being dogmatic about this by any means, but we should probably say when someone dies, they're in paradise. They're with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But one day they will return with the Lord and live bodily with our resurrected body with Christ, reigning and ruling with him in on the new heaven and new earth.
Yeah.
And where it gets intriguing is when you do look at the dimensionality of the new heavens and new earth, even there it appears to be transdimensional. Mm-hmm. It's not just like a normal city. It's like, well, this city kind of goes up. So how are we floating in this kind of sky city? And what is all of this? There seems to be hints, winks, if you will, of God saying, oh, just you wait. It's going to really blow your mind.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
good. Amazing. It's Theology Thursday. Still time to chime in, 505-338-3700, or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Now, you guys brought in a few different topics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, we've been talking about this for, you know, a little time.
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to move on to the next thing? I know.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's move on. The next one was a question that Jarrett received on his phone about faith. And this actually comes from a listener named Richard. And Richard had a question that he texted to Jarrett. Jarrett, why don't you read the question so all our listeners can participate?
Yeah, the question was, if I teach faith, that faith is a gift, is that wrong? And the question was basically, you know, how do I deal with that? And I'd brought up that, you know, there's two views to that. There's two faiths, if you will. There's the one faith that in Ephesians chapter 2 that Paul talks about, that, you know, by grace we've been saved, you know, and it's through our faith that, you know, by believing we're saved. There can be a view that looks at that faith is a gift as well as grace is a gift, depending on how you read that passage, and it's gone back and forth in different dialogue. But nonetheless, there is the faith that has been, you know, if you will, for unto salvation, and then there is the gift of faith that Paul speaks about later, and that gift of faith is like the super duper faith, if you will. And to clarify that one, a good example is Moses, or like Noah, and when I bring names up like that, who by faith were moved to do something huge, like Noah was moved by faith to build an ark, or Moses was by faith, you know, led to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. There is a gift of faith, if you will, to do great things, supernatural things that God has called us to do. And then there's the typical faith, if you will, which is still great, don't misunderstand me, but the gift, you know, dealing with salvation. So I'll lay that out there first and foremost. And so that was my response as far as, you know, just looking at it in Ephesians chapter 2, around verses 8 through 9 or 10 there, where it completes the thought. But it is, you know, by faith, through grace, you know, that we've been given this gift of salvation. And so it goes on to speak about that. And that's what we believe, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so. Yeah, and we all know the great first century philosopher Jorge Michel, who said, you got to have faith.
You got to have faith. Yeah.
Got to have faith. Amen. And I have nothing to add for Jarrett. That was a great answer there. And we do appreciate Richard's text.
Yeah.
Now I got a text. And let me say that my text, I need to qualify it first.
Ooh.
And that is, I got a text from multiple people about a recent series of events that have happened with a particular pastor by the name of Mark Driscoll.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were texting, could you guys tackle this on Theology Thursday? This is one of those topics that many people want some answers for.
Sure.
And let me say, and here's where I say qualifications. By no means do we know the insights of what's happening with Mark Driscoll or at Mars Hill. We love our brethren in the Lord. We have nothing mean to say about any of this. So I just want to publicly say we really can't comment on these because we're not on the inside of what is occurring there. We do know that there's a lot of internet traffic. There's lots of blogs happening. Yeah. And what
you could find that for any church.
Exactly.
Right.
And
what
precipitated this particular thing was a recent blog by, I guess, an insider who was with Mark Driscoll and his expose or view of what's happening. And really, the bottom line was for this blog that he wrote is that, you know, the church has elevated pastors to almost like a celebrity status. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes less about the gospel and more about this pastor. And again, I'm in no position to comment on that. We have many good friends who go to Mars Hill churches, and we just pray that the Lord bless that. However, what I think we can, Jarrett and I could tackle, is really what are the qualifications of a pastor? What are those things that the Bible lays out for us that a pastor should be like. And the clearest teaching we have on that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And when you look at the qualifications of a pastor, Paul lays them out for us very clearly. And I'm just going to read them because I think it's important. So if people are saying, what is it a pastor should be doing? What is it that the Bible says a pastor? Are they supposed to be on TV? Are they supposed to be, you know, these superstars? What exactly does the job description look like? Well, here it is on one level. And there's other places in the Bible I need to say that as well. But this is one of the clearest. And here's what Paul says. If a man desires the position of a bishop or a pastor or overseer, that's all that means, he desires a good work. So the first thing we learn about someone who wants to be in the ministry, this is a good thing. This is something that the Lord wants.
True.
And then Paul goes on to say, a bishop must. Notice that word must. This isn't, he could, you know, sort of think about it. No, this, he must be, number one, blameless. That means he has to be pure in heart. He has to be a Christian. He has to be someone who is seeking the heart of the Lord. He has to be the husband of one wife, meaning he can't be a playboy. He can't be out there doing his thing. He must be temperate, sober-minded, meaning, you know, he's supposed to look at things in balance. He has to look at things in perspective and biblically. He has to have good behavior. That's not just good behavior when you're behind a pulpit. That's not just good behavior when you're in front of a congregation. That's good behavior all over the place. The pastor must be hospitable. He must be kind to other people. He must invite people and want to be around people. He must be able to teach, not given too much wine. You know, this idea you don't want your pastor drunk all the time. Now, again, it's not saying you, a pastor can't drink wine. It's just not given too much wine. He's not to be a drunkard. Not violence, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own household well, having his children submission with all reverence. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride unless he fall in the same condemnation. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach. And so those are the qualifications. And of course, Jared or I or anyone could expound upon those more in detail, but that is what the biblical model of the pastor is supposed to look like. Jared.
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, one of the beauties of the body of Christ is a word that, you know, we forget often about, and that's the word unity. Mm-hmm. And we're called to be unified in Christ. You know, Christ has made us one. And, you know, as a pastor, you know, there's the whole idea of, you know, that is this man, not, you know, immune to sin? Is he, you know, and the reality is that we're faced with sin and levels of temptation and warfare beyond what you can imagine. But the beauty of doing this good work is knowing that God gives us the grace and the strength to do it and to pray for our leaders, because as you see just the qualifications, these are great qualifications. So often, you know, we read a list like this and we think about the external, but I'm reminded as I read through that list is that it is more of an internal thing where, you know, you can't see if somebody's greedy on the inside. You can see manifestation of it because, you know, they're taking and grabbing things and buying things and just have that outward expression. But the inward, if someone's greedy, whether you're poor or you're rich, doesn't necessarily matter, but it's there. Or jealous, or you lack self-control, and or you're sober-minded, there's a clarity to your mind. And so I think going on that route, and I would say this, regardless of the fellowship, you know, whenever somebody, let's say, has been a part of that mechanism, that organism is what it should be, a living organism, the body of Christ, and they come outside that and begin to speak against it. Like, you know, Steve would mention jokingly, you know, you can find fault in any church. No church is perfect.
That's right, because people aren't perfect.
But let me say this. It is the bride of Christ, and I would be very careful of what you say about God's bride. And that's where we need to be careful. I think the idea of unity, I think the idea that we need to watch our own heart and be praying for our internal life and allowing God to work within each of us, but also remember that we're human. And if you have worked as a part of a church, the greater road to take is to be careful what you say, to continue to have a sober mind and keep that clarity and not speak against it, but to allow God to do that work, because you're not perfect either. And the reality is that, you know, we want to be able to honor the Lord that way and His bride, because it's easy to point fingers, and sometimes we can see that. My guess is the article that Brian's going to be leading to, and there's some things that have come out, this or that, but you know what? Against, you know, you can pick any organizational part. We're learning, we're walking with the Lord, and in many ways we need to be dependent on the Lord, you know, so.
And I like that, Jerry. Unity, I think, is very important. And I think the second point is we need to pray for other Christians, for other leaders, whether they're part of our denomination or not. We need to be praying for those people, that they would get a glimpse, a sense of what God's call for their particular life is, that they would abide by these principles outlined in Scripture. And not only that, you know, one time when there was something exploding at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, again, our own denomination slash movement is not, we're as guilty in some areas as well. But there was a controversy happening at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and I remember being in the elevator with John Corson. And John and I had finished the radio program, Pastor's Perspective, there. And we were going down from the fourth floor. And I just happened to bring it up. I said, John, you know, I know you're being infiltrated or inundated with all of this stuff. Because John was recently new to Costa Mesa at that time. And he just looked at me and he goes, you know, Brian, when these type of things happen, here's how I handle them. I never take them outside. I never use it as a way to gossip or think. I always look at it from my own perspective. Lord, what are you teaching me from this? What is it in my life that I need to learn? I need to take out the speck from my own eye, or the log from my own eye, before I'm taking out the speck from others. So he said, for me, I never externalize it of saying, well, you know, you, and you, and pointing fingers. I always internalize it, point a finger at myself and say, Lord, what is it that you're teaching me through this? So I think that is also the message for people listening, and particularly with this Mark Driscoll thing. Rather than pointing fingers at Mark Driscoll, rather than, you know, setting up blog sites and critiques and all of this type of stuff, believers should be saying, Lord, what are you teaching me for this? Maybe I have elevated him in my heart when I need to elevate you. You're the one I need to be elevating. And so I would say don't externalize it, but internalize it so that you're searching your own life.
Yeah, and you know, there, oftentimes, you know, there can be that view even when someone steps outside the controversy and they're like, they're running, you know, you can begin to say, oh, they're running, they must be guilty. I think it's clear that Paul says that you must rule your house well. In order to rule the house of God, I think it's honorable when someone steps outside for a moment to take a breather, to be able to take some time to, you know, learn to rule their house well, to get their life in correction if that need be. But, you know, as we grow, like Brian said, great wisdom, you know, to look and say, you know what? What is God showing me as a result of this? And that's the heart of the Lord. I mean, we're growing, we're children, you know, we're growing.
Yeah, and if someone wants a resource on, like, what is great basic Christian leadership, be it the pastor or any Christian. One of my favorite books that I recommend to so many different people is John Stott's Basic Christian Leadership. That's what it's called. And in this, he outlines basic biblical principles of what Christian leaders should be about. And you'll get, you know, like being able to teach that Paul alluded to, but humility and all these other great characteristics. So those of you who are out there and going, well, what is biblical leadership look like? Obviously, we started with 1 Timothy 3, but if you want a great book on basic Christian leadership, I recommend John Stott's book by that title, Basic Christian Leadership. You will do yourself a favor if you read that book.
There you go. Right on. We have about 8 minutes left to show. I know we got an email question to get to. I had a quick one. We talked about this on the morning show this morning, and it's becoming a big issue. I know you, Jarrett, especially, huge fan of Katy Perry.
That's right.
So in the news right now, it's actually a big deal. Katy Perry, well, she didn't write this song.
No.
I was going to say she wrote a song.
I think it was like Max Martin or
anybody
Dr.
else,
Luke, one of those guys.
Yeah, somebody wrote this song, Dark Horse, right?
Illuminati.
And so Illuminati, everybody's talking about this. Yeah. This is the beat. You guys hear this beat?
I like that beat.
Okay,
that
check out this beat. If you like that beat, tell me how you feel about this beat.
Same one.
This beat, that's funny. This beat is from a Christian artist named Flame, featuring Lecrae and some other Christian hip-hop artists.
Right.
It's actually a few years old. And Lecrae and Flame and these other Christian artists are currently suing Katy Perry.
I didn't know that.
Over this song.
Over Dark Horse.
And so yesterday it just kind of blew up in the news.
Wow.
Because these Christians are suing Katy Perry. So my quick question, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it,
right.
I mean, what are the biblical mandates on, as we talk about internalizing it, and instead of writing blogs and attacking others, right now we have some Christian artists who said, hey man, this is my intellectual property, check it, this is my song. And Katy Perry's like, what do you mean? My song's totally different.
Yeah, totally
this is
different.
My song is totally different, doesn't sound the same. Man, I go back and forth every time I hear it, I don't know.
Let me say, when you're dealing...
You're musicians.
Yeah, we are. And let me say, when you're dealing with this, you have to deal with it on two different levels. If we're talking about two different Christians,
right,
before going to court, you need to handle it with what we would call Matthew 18.
Yeah.
You need to sit down with that individual, try to work out your differences. If you can't, you bring in the larger group.
Okay.
And then you bring it theoretically before the church, meaning you get a church tribunal. So biblically, that's how you would handle it, Matthew 18. Now, from a secular standpoint, if this is truly their intellectual property and it was stolen, I believe this individual has the legal right to go and say, listen, my stuff was stolen. Let's just take it a little more down, because when we're talking with intellectual property, right, people don't really grasp that much.
Right.
But let's say I come over to your house and I steal your bicycle. I take it from your garage and I bring it to mine.
Wow,
and
you're why would you do that?
Well, you're walking down the street and you look in you look in my garage and go, there's my bicycle. You know, you would want to get that bicycle back.
Yeah.
You would probably take me to small claims court where I would then have to give the bicycle back. The same is true with intellectual property. If someone wrote a song or wrote a book or, you know, so on and so forth, and I plagiarize it or I take from it or I do it without giving credit to you, I have an essence stolen from you.
Okay.
Therefore, legally, I have a right to say, hey, give me my stuff back.
Okay. Good. Okay, that's it. We don't have to spend too much time on it. I don't think
they have a case.
Really?
I really don't.
I think it's similar, but his goes dun 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 dun.
Now, by the way, those guys were sued, and they were.
Well, that was a clear sample. That was.
And even the Rolling Stones, when they took the Verve to court, and they all their royalty checks had to go for, you know, what's it, Bittersweet Symphony. That's a Rolling Stone sample, and not even more recent. Recently, Lenny Kravitz and Madonna were sued by actually a lady from Albuquerque who sued for Justify Your Love, and she won in court because they ripped off from her. So though...
It's going to be interesting.
It will be interesting. Though Katy Perry may win, the reality is intellectual property right is taken seriously in the courts.
What does it
the
say?
This is just kind of going over. What I would like to find out is if you find out that there was some engineer that worked on Flame stuff or something, and then somehow he's in the camp that put out Dark Horse, then there'd be a legitimate case.
Right.
But I think just listening to it, there's been way too many songs that were close.
Sound similar.
And they sound similar, but they're not.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Way too. And sometimes, and it sucks because I realize we're supposed to go to members of the church like that, and that's Christian to Christian. But in this situation, it's like, we're going to look like a bunch of just butts.
Yeah.
You know, like, because every headline says, Katy Perry sued by Christian musicians.
That's every
single thing.
Oh yeah. And that is of course how secular media would want to portray it. They want to portray the, you know, the Christians as, you know, kind of, you know, gold diggers or something of that nature. But that's why we have a court of law.
Yeah.
The court will hopefully get to the bottom of this and give a you know, decision that is fair and equitable, and then we have to stand on that.
All right. We've got like 2 minutes, so I feel terrible because we got an email question and I want it to be answered correctly, but
Okay. So
let's try and get to it.
In the Bible, it says that when we go to heaven, we will not longer be in pain, no suffering. To me, this means absolute joy and no sorrow. My question is, will God take away memories of people we love that were not saved and didn't go to heaven? Because I know I would be very sad to know that some of my loved ones didn't make it to heaven and that they would be suffering for the rest of eternity.
Great question. And let me say just off the bat, we ultimately don't know what it's going to be like. But here are a couple theories, and then I'll turn it over to Jared. One theory is that, yes, God will wipe those away and that we won't have any memory. I'm not sure about that. What
tears away. What
I kind of lean on at this point in my life is that God, we will view it from God's vantage point. Mm-hmm. We will see it within God's economy, within His providence, within His sovereignty, and we'll understand it and go, oh, I see. Yeah. God, you are so good. You work this together according to your purposes, and I have no qualm with what right. went on. But Jarrett.
You know, I would just say Revelation 6, verse 9 through 10, it just talks about when God opened the seal in heaven, he saw under the altar the souls that had been slain for the word of God, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood for those who dwell on the earth? And then God says, wait a little longer. That passage reveals to me that these people who died have a conscience. They can remember people. They know what's going on downstairs, if you will, down on earth. They know what's going on in heaven. They're aware of time. They understand God's sovereignty. A lot of stuff happening there, as you can tell, as I'm just rattling through.
No.
Because of time. But
right.
the reality is that I believe we will know those things. All we right. will not be lost in this fog. We'll know every single person. We'll know what's happening on earth, heaven. We have a conscience, and even those who would be cast out,
We talked about the glorified body earlier in the show, and so it's like...
There's a knowledge. There's an understanding.
Right, so if we're glorified and we're made perfect...
Sure.
by things being removed.
But God does work it for good, Nixon
so
said.
So it's interesting.
Which God does. We see it from a perspective.
We might have to pick this
God's
up again next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, let's do
All
it.
Right. All right.
Great being here today.
That's it for Theology Thursday. If you missed any part of it, you can download the podcast. MyStaticRadio.com/Theology Thursday. Thanks to everybody who chimed in. Of course, Brian Nixon, Jarrett Pietro. We love you guys.
Yes.
It was fun.
Speaking of Jarrett Pietro, coming up Monday, July 14th at Calvary Knob Hill.
Mm.
Great show going on with Run River North.
Yes.
Tickets are only $5. And man, we are 11 days away. Do not be left outside without your tickets because it's going to be an incredible show and we are close to capacity. So
going to be awesome.
Yeah. MyStaticRadio.com. Get your tickets and we'll see you guys again Monday. That's it.
Monday.
We're off tomorrow. It's 4th of July. Enjoy your freedoms.
Enjoy your freedoms.
And your whatnots. So, have a blast.
Have a blast.
All right, until then, it's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.